much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
There's a lot of sex and drugs at these things. You sure you're ready for this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
Balls, 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 balls.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Shut up when I'm talking to you. Shut up when I'm talking to you. Shut up.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense.
You are way behind your mind. Come on, wake up.
And now.
Finally, we're getting a little more sausage at this party.
Our feature presentation.
Look, you are way behind your mind, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, second of all. I mean, that's tough to argue, right? It's good advice. Anyone? Morning, everybody. It is a Thursday morning, the 12th of February.
I am going to write a strongly worded letter to the people who put on the Powerball because they made a mistake.
They made a mistake by not...
They pulled the wrong numbers.
Well, I think they just...
They picked the wrong numbers. I have the ticket, and the numbers that I had were not the ones... My understanding was that if I put my $5 down, that I would win $500 million.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
That's how it was explained to me.
Yeah, it's guaranteed.
And then they picked numbers that apparently were in places like Texas and Puerto Rico. Like, that's a real place.
So there were winning tickets?
And North Carolina... Three.
Bastards.
Yeah, but none of them were mine.
Yeah.
So somebody owes me $5 plus my time back.
But your time.
I mean, I was at the 7-Eleven anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot
really,
of time,
that's
but I'm
not,
just saying.
It's not going to be anything.
But what went wrong?
One in 176 million chance
thought,
or whatever it is.
I thought it was fairly well laid out for me that you put your money down and you win the $500 million.
Well, right? Did you do those really popular numbers? Did you do it that way?
No, I just did the quick
see, picture. That's the problem. Operator error.
That's right.
It's my fault now.
Yeah.
Oh, somehow you're turning
totally.
This into my fault.
It's well, on you.
I mean, we gave you tips.
It ended up being $543 million, by the way.
But divided by three.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, you take taxes out.
You can't even eat.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's hardly worth the paperwork processing fee, I would imagine. But it's okay because I've already moved on. I have a new plan. And I can't believe I didn't know this place existed. Union Square Coffee Shop in New York is your typical diner-like eatery. You go in and it has has a bar, it has booths, you get lunch, your regular place. But then at the back of the coffee shop is a set of stairs that leads down to a doorway that just has a little sign on it that says lounge.
Okay.
And that's private. That's not for anybody walking in off the street. You can go into the coffee shop. You cannot go into the lounge unless you are a female model working with one of the top-ranked model agencies. It is models only. Model Lounge, founded in 2009. Why am I just hearing about this, by the way?
Wait, okay, so... Do any men get to go in or
no.
just models?
Just female
to
models.
To hang out with models.
It's only models. Model Lounge. Apparently, it was founded by three former models back in 2009 because they found that models can be very busy. They can have, 15 appointments in a day where they have to go from shoot to shoot or interview to interview or whatever to whatever. And they need some place that they can go in between those appointments where they won't get hit on because they're models.
I could see that.
So you can go and you can eat snacks. You can practice your runway walks. They offer free back massages. They initially, the idea was just to provide girls with a couch they could sit on between appointments. But now there are 30 to 50 models in the lounge at any given time, with an average of 70 models stopping by each day.
What city?
New York.
That's in New York. Here, but they can't be making money because models don't eat.
Could I do that out here? That's a good point.
During New York Fashion Week, the number increases to a whopping 250 models stopping by during the day. It's so crowded sometimes that models resort to sitting on the hardwood floors, but it's a nice place, the owners say, to stay warm during the winter. There is a strict no-guest policy. It is a private members club. Women models only. You can't bring a guy with you. You can't be a guy and go. They wanted a place where models would not get hit on and make the girls feel uncomfortable by gawking at them as if they're in a zoo.
Do they have to walk through a gauntlet of guys, though, to get in there? Can't you see all these men hanging out at the entrance?
Just trying to get a glimpse. And
yeah.
It does sound like you do walk through the regular open-to-the-public coffee shop upstairs to get to the model lounge. But
what are you going to do there, Bean?
What are you going to do with that information? I'm going to run the place.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to run the place.
You run that bar and you have zero models. I'm telling you that right now.
You repel women.
Yes.
They offer things like makeup wipes and nail polish remover. They have yoga classes. They have all sorts of amenities for the models. But they don't allow any men in or any men to work there. Doesn't it seem like there could be some sort of lawsuit if you discriminate by hiring based on sex?
I don't know. I always disagreed with that.
Is that legal?
I always disagreed with that. So I think it's fine that they're doing it. That's a ridiculous lawsuit.
We've had the discussion. Like, you only hire certain types of women at Hooters, right?
But they're hiring the right women, though.
But that's still
that's not the point, I don't think.
Yeah.
In the legal argument, I don't think that's the case.
but if I were the attorney, I would go, yeah, but look at her, is what I would say.
Right.
Anyway, so if you're looking for a place in New York with 70 models hanging out at any one time, now you know it's there and you can't go. So I don't know. I think I have nothing but bad news today. Between Powerball and the and the models with their stupid exclusionary, you know, policies, I don't think I got much good news for us today, you guys.
Wow. All right. Well,
way to bring us down.
We'll try to move on.
we'll try. I don't know if we can, but we'll try.
Yesterday, we didn't know that there was a place we couldn't get into in New York with models.
And now we're outraged.
Now we're outraged. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Meet Show, shall we?
Yeah. Sure.
Brand new internet roundup on the program today.
Oh, it's a good batch.
Actor, writer, director Kevin Smith will be on the program today.
Yeah.
You are a part-time porn worker. I don't know if you saw the story of this girl in Portland. School, in the school library, doing, you know, doing chat.
Yeah,
video
doing
chat.
Webcam shows, right?
Oh, really? Yep.
Found her out. She quit or they kicked her out. I don't know what happened. She probably quit.
She's a student?
Yeah. Yeah. And just said, peace out. I'm making enough money this way. I don't need to go to college.
Wow.
So that's good times. We also have Jim Rome talking sports. Mm-hmm. And a brand new, thanks for the tweet, Bean.
How dare you?
Yay.
How dare you, sir? We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Thursday morning. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Mr. Kerman?
Yesterday, we were talking about how much 50 Shades of Grey is going to make at the box office this weekend.
I think
we were guessing it was going to be a huge hit. What we didn't realize was these days you can figure out how much money a movie is going to make by looking at the pre-sales.
Oh, interesting.
You know, a lot of sites like Fandango will sell tickets in advance for opening weekend showings. And they say that 50 Shades of Grey is the fourth biggest advance seller of all time on Fandango.com. Behind Twilight Saga, New Moon, and the final Harry Potter movie, and Hunger Games. So that means the movie's expected to make around $60 million this weekend. Hmm. Which would far and away make it number one.
Makes a lot of sense that a lot of people would pre-order a film like this because, you know, a lot of buzz opening weekend. You want to make sure to be able to get in, buy that
ticket. Don't want to miss out.
Right. It is funny, though, because everyone that read it sort of didn't like the book or realized it was stupid. And the same thing's happening with the movie, and yet everyone's going.
Hmm. Well, it's a little Sex in the City-like. Like, the first movie I thought was really fun. We knew the second wasn't going to be good, and we knew the third was terrible. But I went to the mall.
But you were fine.
But you have to go, or else they take your vagina back.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll reclaim it.
Listen to Kevin talk about,
how dare
people
you
go to see a bad movie. They know it's bad, and yet they're going to go anyway. What's wrong with these people? Why don't they be like me and only go see art films and foreign films?
That's right. Thank you, Ralph.
No one goes to see more bad films knowing they're bad than you do. No one.
That's actually
all I need is one laugh.
That's actually
and
true.
One explosion, and I'm good. Thank you. How about some more num-nums?
Wait, they sell num-nums at your theater?
Yeah, Kevin likes the num-nums. So you.
So I have to pipe down, but
that's
the rest of you
can. All right.
Yeah. Lisa, you going?
No.
Really? Ah, please.
No,
let's ask
I'm
her.
Not.
Let's ask her next week.
You're going.
I didn't read the book.
You're going to go. Going.
I know my wife is going 9 o'clock tonight with a whole bunch of girls.
Seriously?
I know that. Oh, yeah.
It's not my cup of tea.
A lot of people are hoping to see a lot of Rita Ora in the film. You know, she has a little part in the film. But according to reviewers, you're going to be disappointed. The Hollywood Reporter says she plays Christian Grey's sister, Mia, and has a total of four lines.
All right.
Here are her four lines. Number one, she's here? Two, oh my God, you exist. Three, uck, Seattle baseball.
Yeah, well, we all agree on
really?
That.
Yeah. And then the fourth one is a sentence in French. I don't speak French.
All right.
Rita said she did acting and accent coaches for the part and learned how to speak French. For four roles. For four lines, rather. Uck, Seattle baseball. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. Right, Bean? Are you with us? Hey, Bean?
Wow. How about that? I love my Mariners, but they are, you know, one of the worst teams in the history of sport.
Yes, they are.
I think there's only two teams that have never been to the World Series, and we're one of them.
And while we're talking about sports and celebrity, Kevin, you okay?
Yeah.
You all right, buddy?
Why?
Well, just because, you know, yesterday, Landon Donovan announced he's engaged.
Saw that.
Are you heartbroken?
I'm not.
It's not you?
Good for him.
Because he didn't put a ring on it?
Yeah, I didn't.
He ran that by you first, though, before he announced it to the rest of the world, right? He didn't want you to hear about it on the news, I hope.
Landon! Oh, Landon Kicks! He's engaged to a woman.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Her name is Hannah Bartel.
Bet she's ugly.
I've never been this happy, he said. He's excited for their future together. In addition to planning a wedding, he's also visiting orphanages in South America. Plans to enroll in college and loves to golf in his retirement, says Landy.
Good for Landon, by the way. He dedicated his entire life to his sport. He's been playing it since he was four. Now it's time for him to enjoy his life a little bit.
That's right.
Get fat, like the rest of us.
Smoke out.
Whatever it takes.
Speaking of smoking out, this is my girl, Danielle Lee. I want to give her a big high five and an extra merit badge. She's a Girl Scout.
Okay.
In San Francisco, that in her first 4 days of selling Girl Scout cookies, she had set up a little table on Mission Street. She sold 560 boxes of cookies in her first 4 days alone.
Holy cow.
What is her technique?
Well, Lisa, she set up her little table across the street from the Green Cross Marijuana Dispensary.
Makes perfect sense.
On Mission Street in San Francisco.
How smart is that?
And as people come out with their prescriptions, they seem to want to go by and pick up some Thin Mints and Do-Si-Dos. I wonder why.
I'm surprised. Great idea.
Danielle said she realizes she probably wouldn't have had such luck if it wasn't for her prime location. So,
Ralph, was it your rule that you won't buy cookies from anybody except for the little girls?
I only buy from Girl Scouts, yes.
The parents are coming in selling them? Yeah, that's not for you.
No, if someone shows up, hey, I got the sign-up sheet on the wall over there. My kids sell cookies. Why'd you write yourself down for 12 boxes? Yeah, bite me. I had a little girl come to the door just the other day with her mom, and she had a little piece of paper. She had written out her speech. She was like, hi, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies today. And she did her whole thing. I was like, good for you. Give me everything you got. But I'm not buying from parents.
And your point was, if I recall, Ralph, that you feel like it takes away part of the reason you want to sell Girl Scout cookies is to learn how to transact business and interact with people in
right.
the world.
It's for kids to develop sales skills and interpersonal skills and mm-hmm. learning about the world of commerce and business. And I think it's a great experience for those girls to go out there and sell door to door. But having your dad tape up the sign-up sheet in the break room ain't going to do it.
And suggest how many boxes and
everything
yeah, else.
Right. Yeah. Why don't you get six? Why don't you get six of these right here?
So how ticked is Olivia going to be in a few years where she says, Daddy, will you help me move some of these boxes? You're like, no!
I'll say, start using some shoe leather, kid. Get out there. Work it.
But all the other girls' parents are doing
it. Yeah, well, they're all whores. So I'm going to tell her.
It's going to be good.
That's going to be a good speech. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Josh Brolin is 47 years old today. Christina Ricci. Oh, I love Christina Ricci.
Me too.
She gets a little reachier every time we...
Oh, don't even try.
What? She gets a little reachier every time we go to see one of her movies. She's 35 years old. And actress Sarah Lancaster. Remember her from Chuck? She was Chuck's sister.
Is she Belle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's
yes.
Belle.
She's way hot. Okay.
Yeah. I miss her. She's 35 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, if you like Imagine Dragons like we do, then you want to get in on this deal, which is to see the band at the Troub and then go into the grand prize drawing that we do tomorrow to see them in Salt Lake City, to see them in Las Vegas, see them in Atlanta. And they're a great live band,
yes,
too.
Yes, they are.
9 o'clock this morning will qualify you for all that. You can get the details at krock.com. We do it throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. as well.
Brand new Thanks for That Tweet Bean coming up in a minute. First, though, it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. This guy combines Beer Mug's commercial with what Beer Mug is about to do.
Beer Mug needs his A cleaned.
Yeah, I guess Tuesday, Beer Mug is going to that place where you get the ladies go to get their fronts steamed and everybody can go to get their backs steamed. That's what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of talk about me going with him with the camera. I'm not sure I'm up for that.
I think that's pretty sure that's close to Beer Mug with his pants off. I really
do. Not going to happen.
So you guys just had your most disgusting segment ever.
We have a lot of good response from the grossest things you did for money.
Yeah, I knew that's what she was talking about. Immediately.
A lot of people loved it.
Followed by Nick, followed by Beer Mug interviews, followed by Mole. You guys are really trying hard to get me to stop listening.
We really did test the patience of our listeners that particular day. It was almost like, all right, let's blow off all the peripheral fans and let's just only have the hardcore people.
That was one of my favorite days because it was all just stupid.
It was pain.
Back to gross things.
You guys have the segment for the grossest things you would do for the least amount of money. I think to myself, I have a pretty strong stomach. I can get through this. 2 minutes later,
yeah.
I had to open my car and hurl.
Oh.
You guys suck.
Yeah.
We literally caused vomit in a listener?
We bailed on that as well, if you recall.
Yes.
We did.
Like, can we stop doing this? Yeah, well, it's up to us.
For folks who didn't hear it, by the way, you're lucky.
Here's a guy who is more upset by what followed that.
Let me get this straight. So you guys have a great, funny, hilarious segment where you have the call about people who did crazy things for money, and you have 3 hours worth of calls, supposedly. Yet you refuse to do more than 2 minutes, yet you play two segments of Beer Mug interviews! Two segments! Two! Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? Two segments!
So he liked the Beer Mug interviews, did not like the Beer Mug
interviews. I think he's a fan.
Okay.
I think he was a fan, yeah.
Kevin, Hallmark 2, coming out. You and me, buddy. Let's go. Get in line now. Trailer's out. You got to see it. Hallmark 2. Kevin.
Oh, Kevin doesn't have to be talked into that, sir. He's on Fandango right now buying his tickets for opening night.
Trailer's funny. That's all I know. Trailer's funny. Fat people. Funny. Kevin.
You know why I didn't see the trailer? Because I heard enough about the first movie. Didn't know it wasn't worth it.
You have to see Paul Blart getting kicked by a horse. Trust me on that.
I don't remember when your guys have to go accept your Hall of Fame award. By the way, it's a bogus award. But anyways, you need to have Sam, the Armenian comedian, accept the award on your behalf.
Great idea.
I want to see him give a freaking speech and get up there and just completely screw up the whole thing. That would be fantastic.
Communist is coming. Let's get the hell out of here.
That right. is a fantastic idea, sir. Look, I was looking forward to giving that speech, but I think I would be more looking forward to watching Sam give that speech.
Yeah, that's no question about that.
We may have to talk to Sam about coming to Las Vegas with us in April.
I like it. Shortest Afro call ever?
Giggity.
Nice.
I'm sure that was for you, Lisa.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what we were doing that day.
Giggity.
Yeah.
Lisa May said a big rig spilled its load.
I know, right? I love saying that. Just love it.
What a response from this. What a response about that.
I think we are going to have to offer that as a ringtone download on the website. A lot of people are asking for it.
Hey, Bean, I have 3 cats. Uh-oh, mine are starting to get into a fight now. Don't fight, kitties. Don't fight.
A lot of mocking going on. All of those better than...
There's something wrong in his head. Whatever the hell that noise was. Nice job, Bean.
Yes. It was quite a fail, wasn't it?
And finally...
Oh, my God. Did you guys hear? Taylor Swift copyrighted.
Wouldn't that be the best burn ever?
If all of a sudden I get sued for making
yes,
that noise?
That would be awesome. You have to pay her. That would be so good. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Speaking of Foo Fighters, I don't know if you saw the announcement this week that Dave Grohl has been tapped to be the ambassador for Record Store Day 2015.
Sure.
So he made a video that's up this week where he's encouraging people to go to record stores, browse around, find some stuff, look for stuff that you haven't heard of or seen before.
Open up a blog.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying is open up a blog. Like Dave couldn't be any cooler. Like, he doesn't have enough going on that he takes on something like that just as a passion project because that's how much he loves music. But it's really inspirational to hear him talking about how if it hadn't been for record stores when he was a kid growing up, he never would have been exposed to the things he was, and he probably wouldn't have been a musician for a living.
Speaking of being inspirational.
Yes.
Ugh. You mean the opposite of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, speaking of being inspirational, here's someone who's not.
Wow, what a batch. What a batch of tweets we've got for you this week.
That's that tweet. Bean!
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You are horrible.
Look, we always give this disclaimer. Everybody tries to be interesting and or funny, and sometimes you miss.
Right.
I think he knows he's not being funny. I think he misses on purpose.
I do too.
And then he doubles down.
And people say to me, is it really the first thing you did when you got on Twitter was block Bean? Yes.
That's true.
And now you'll know why. You ready?
That's that tweet. Bean!
To my friends still in classic rock radio, don't forget it's Two for Tuesday. And to my friends in classic rock radio, it's Two for Tuesday.
Because he said it twice.
Because it's Two for Tuesday, because you play
that
it.
Tweet.
Bean!
Two songs in a row from the same artist on Two for Tuesday in classic rock radio.
Hey, Bean, we don't need further clarification. I think we all got it.
So, okay.
True fact. Taylor Swift couldn't trademark the phrase shake it off because it is owned by pharmacy giant GlaxoSmithKline.
Now, how is that not interesting and relevant based on all the news going on about the sick beat and other things that Taylor trademarked? How is it not interesting that Shake It Off is owned by a pharmacy company?
Here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
We hate her.
Well, I didn't tweet this for you. I tweeted this for tens of thousands of people who follow me who might be interested in
the Taylor
fact
Swift
like that.
Fans who are following you on Twitter.
Just that's
that tweet.
Bean.
In general, the fact that Shake It Off is trademarked by a pharmaceutical giant.
Bean.
Lisa, that's interesting.
No, don't go Lisa.
He always does, and then
she's
I
weak.
Disappoint him.
Lisa's weak and
no,
she's nice.
I don't okay, think good. It's interesting.
Yes! Not interesting.
Yes!
It may be relevant because she's in the news, but it's certainly not interesting.
I found it interesting.
Well, it's not.
No!
You found it wrong.
That's that tweet.
Bean. Now that he is behind bars, I feel I can safely point out that Suge Knight's real first name is Marion.
Once again, not interesting.
Really?
No.
I think I already knew that.
Yeah. Suge Knight's first name is Marion.
Hey, Bean, do you think saying it again makes it so much better?
We understood that.
I guess I do.
The weather in Seattle this morning looks just like my heart feels.
Oh,
sweet.
Now this, with context, that makes sense. It was the day after the Super Bowl, and it was pouring.
Yeah.
That's how we felt after what happened in the game.
Oh, f*** you.
Hallmark cards called, and they want their BS back.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were a lot of people that follow me who are Seahawks fans who knew exactly what that was about. And
that's what Bean's about, is connecting with human beings.
That's what he's all about.
Sad to hear of the great poet Rod McEwen's death today.
Wait, it gets better.
How?
Don't hate him for Seasons in the Sun. He had many contributions besides that.
Now, who's... Who's that for?
For all the Rod McEwen fans that follow Bean and their Taylor Swift fans and their Seattle Seahawks fans. They're all three of those things.
Look,
Kevin.
There are a lot of people who are interested in music and talking about music.
Jesus.
And the contributions of people that have passed. And
do you just talk yourself into anything? No. Are you allowed to believe that anything you do, you can somehow rationalize it?
No, I thought that he's a significant artist that maybe people only know from Seasons in the Sun. I don't think that's
Nobody
a fair representation.
Knows him.
Nobody
even
knows
from that.
Him from that.
That's that tweet.
Bean! I thought I was up on weather stuff, But how long have we been naming winter storms? And are they always named after movies? Hashtag Juno?
Well, I mean, at least it was a lame attempt at being funny, even if you're not a fan.
Turns out, by the way, it's not the National Weather Service that names the storms. It's just the Weather Channel that made it up, because they get higher ratings if a storm is named.
Honestly, we don't care.
Oh, seriously,
dear God, we don't care.
I found it interesting.
Hey, Uncle Sam Tax Preparer Sign Spinner Guy, stop rushing the season. That goes for you too, Lady Liberty.
This was like the 10th of January or something, and the little tax preparer sign people were already out.
Finish talking. Stop doing what you're doing.
That's that tweet.
Come on, we're out of time.
Oh, no. Lastly, and I saved this one for last for a reason.
Oh, it's worse?
Hey, eyes are up here, pal.
Because occasionally, girl, he's got a rack. You'll look at him and go, hey, my face.
Whoa, you can't.
Sometimes.
You can't use the F word.
Sometimes
Kevin.
It needs to be used. Who's with me?
That's that tweet.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky later on this morning here on K-Rock, and our friend Kevin Smith joins us for the 7 o'clock hour. Always a lot of fun. Lots to talk to Kevin about. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world.
A pudgy Mexican in the studio wearing a panda t-shirt. It must be our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, who puts the roundup together for us every week. Hey, Dave, how are you, sir?
Hey, that's me, a pudgy guy with a panda t-shirt.
Yeah, I think that's what he's referring to.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Good batch of roundup videos. You can find them at KRock.com or KevinandBean.com. Weird Al, the greatest human being on Earth, has announced a mandatory fun world tour. He's going to be playing over 100 cities this summer and into the fall. And he put together a little promotional video to promote that with the great J.K. Simmons. And they kind of do a parody of Whiplash. If you saw that movie, that's the one where he's basically berating Miles Teller to be a better drummer. Well, he's doing the same thing to Weird Al to be a better accordion player.
Dragging just a hair.
Oh, come on!
Do you think you're out of tune?
Not really. I think I sound kind of awesome. Hey, what are you? Hey, get down!
Why do you suppose I just hurled a chair at your head?
I honestly don't know.
Sure you do.
You're trying to win an Oscar?
Whoa! It's a very funny video. It's very well done. You'll like it. 50 Shades of Buscemi is something. I don't know how anyone came up with the idea. They took the trailer of 50 Shades of Grey, where you see, is it Dakota Johnson, right? That's the star's name. You see her basically, instead of the guy playing Christian Grey in the film, it's Steve Buscemi, and they've cut from all phases of Buscemi's career, including Boardwalk Empire, and it's pretty awesome.
Say I did stay. Well, what happened?
Jesus!
I'm bleeding.
Oh, no.
Just don't get so carried away, huh?
A very different movie with Steve Buscemi and his bug eyes playing that role. All right, here's the viral video of the week. Everybody is talking about this McDonald's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Dave, did we ever find out what it was that got the employee so riled up that he basically trashed the place before he quit?
No, he got fired. He got fired.
But we don't know why.
Yeah, we don't know why he got fired, but he got fired and he didn't go quietly.
I think it's a good response.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
I tried to be nice. I asked someone. So late and I clock out at 11 o'clock and I can't get my money. Bitch, give me my paper.
He's yelling about not getting paid for a lot of
it. I don't think he got his severance right away.
Yeah.
he's pulling down the coffee maker, and he's just the pies, and just everything is just hitting the floor, and there are people behind the counter, you know, or in front of the counter, I should say, who are videotaping this. By the way, I also did read after the fact that the manager who you see trying to escort this employee out of the store also got fired as a result of this for not keeping his store under control.
Interesting.
Wow.
How about that, by the way?
I would have went for the McDoubles and just started put them in my pockets. You know.
Whitney Cummings did a very funny video for Funny or Die with another comedian named Sarah Tiana, and they did they went to the same place I think that Beer Mug is going to next week to get his butt steamed.
That's true.
They went and got their vaginas steamed, and it does not look like fun, ladies, but here's a little bit of their commentary talking about the process.
Other benefits of the V-steam.
Okay.
Less cramping, they say.
Oh, well, that's good.
I don't know. I like cramping. It gives me an excuse to act like an asshole. Now I know why Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin got divorced.
I feel like I have to toot.
Why is toot so much grosser than fart?
It is. It's a
great question.
It's a sad video, but it's very funny.
My favorite part is when she describes it as goopy.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yep. Unfortunately.
It's a bad word.
Sarah X is back. You don't know the name, but she is the beautiful tattooed model who basically plays along with the musical accompaniment and makes her breasts move up and down. Remember, we had a couple of videos from her last year where she is back this time doing a Beethoven composition.
Pretty strong. Got
to
be honest.
I don't know that music helps us at all to represent the video, but it's worth seeing if you go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It's pretty cool. Honest Trailers are back. This time, they're doing the Lego Movie.
You see this film? Of course you saw it. This one film determined our profit. The town with the number one toy brand. Even got people going into the Legoland.
Everything's a product. We're licensed intellectual property. Shiny yellow products. Now give us your money.
So that's a regular Honest Trailer, but they also have a cameo from the epic rap battles of history people talking about the Lego Movie.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that movie, by the way, but it looks pretty good based on the Honest Trailer.
Yeah, it's not for you.
Here's a little kid who is just rocking out doing the alphabet, the metal alphabet. You're going to love this.
Nice. She's awesome. Z, dummy, not G in the end.
Take it Jesus.
How old do you think she is, Dave? She's really young to know the alphabet.
It says 2-year-old in the description.
So maybe the music helped her remember it, but it's pretty impressive, I got to tell you. Daniel Cormier is one of our favorite fighters. He is a UFC light heavyweight fighter, and he did a video where he's doing a parody of All About That Bass called All About That Cake. He recorded this for the 7th Annual World MMA Awards. And, Dave, you said Daniel is not doing the actual scene.
No, he is
lip syncing
to
someone else, right?
Yeah.
It's still very well done.
I'm all about that cake and chicken. About that cake and chicken. About that cake.
It's weird to see him dancing around.
With no shirt, just, you know, putting chicken in his mouth, eating cake. It's
just weird.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of mashups in the Internet Roundup this week. This one is pretty cool. Someone has put together all sorts of comments from the Grammys with Beck and Kanye West. Remember Kanye kind of hopped up on stage for a minute. It looked like he was going to repeat 5 years ago at the VMAs and steal a Grammy.
Yep.
Somebody put together a loser mashup with Kanye's music, Beck's music, and both of them talking. It's pretty well done.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size 2, but I can wrestle, and I can throw you.
Wait. That's still Daniel Cormier.
That's still Daniel Cormier. Let's move on to the next.
Oh, interesting.
All right.
Stop
playing, Beck. We not playing no more.
Thank God.
Beck, you show Beyonce respect.
I'd like to thank the musicians. I love you guys. I'd like to thank my kids.
I got my dog. I got my clothing line. Beck is diminishing art, not respecting the craft. He needs to give his award back.
Wow. So.
That's
cool.
DJ Steve Porter who puts it together.
Nice job,
He's
by
good.
The way, on that. I don't know who did this one, but or why they even thought of doing a mashup between the Nine Inch Nails song Perfect Drug and the Taylor Swift song Shake It Off, but a lot of people really like this one. And what was your comment on that one, Kevin?
If they took Taylor Swift out, that would be awesome.
And finally, Barack Obama, as you know, every once in a while, just like they do with the Brian Williams on the NBC. Oh, that guy who used to do the NBC Nightly News where they basically edit his words together to make it look like he's rapping or singing a song.
You can't really tell that it's edited, right?
Not at all. President Obama is doing the same Taylor Swift song.
Cause the player's gonna play, 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 play. And the haters gonna hate, 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 baby. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake. Shake it off! Shake it off!
Who are the people who have the time to do these videos?
I don't know.
It's a YouTube channel called Barack Debs. But what are they going to do when he leaves office?
They well, they get do the same thing to
the next
guy.
President?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Mitt Romney's got skills, man. Come on. Or whoever. You can see all
Mitt
these
Romney
videos.
Says no.
And more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Writer, actor, director, podcaster, our friend Kevin Smith joins us in studio after the top of the hour. First, we're up here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Tell me if this sounds like a Bean tweet.
Okay.
Kenny G invented the Frappuccino.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did he do that?
No, he didn't.
No.
I saw this news story. I said, "This Bean will be tweeting this lab later today."
When I read the story, I read it, but certainly didn't tweet it.
I'm done.
I don't tend to tweet things that are readily available every
day. Pizza first! First!
Felt like people would have seen that story.
Sure, it was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
The Kenny G Frappuccino debacle? That was the lead on the nightly news.
I felt he overstated his involvement in the creation of that drink.
Just let us breathe. Every once in a while, just give us a breath.
NBC's Today Show looked into it, and the spokesperson for Starbucks confirmed that Kenny G did inspire the Frappuccino, which was introduced in 1995.
Still not interesting, though.
No.
I don't care. No. Is it available or not? Yes? Okay, good.
Yeah. It's readily available. Everyone knows that story.
I had a tweet about that.
Speaking of news, Brian Williams, of course.
Guilty.
Well, who knows if he's guilty or not, but he's out of work for 6 months. And now some unlikely champion is coming to his rescue.
Somebody we wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
File
this on the don't be on my side.
Oh, no.
Category.
Donald Trump?
That was my first thought, too.
Embarrassing people who support you? Is it somebody from Fox
News? It's a celebrity
not
connected to the news industry. It's an actor.
Actor.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin?
No, but
good guess. Shia LaBeouf?
No.
Oh.
Though he would read a love letter to him, I'm sure, given the opportunity.
That guy's a cannibal.
Weird Al Yankovic.
No, it's not Weird Al Yankovic. Who do you not want on your side, actor-wise? Who do you not want coming out publicly supporting you?
Someone who's crazy.
Even though you might be winning.
Oh, God,
really? Okay.
Charlie Sheen
wrote an open letter to Brian Williams.
What is he? Why?
Took to twit longer and posted this open letter. It's too long to read, but some of my favorite parts are, "You are clearly the victim of a transparent and vile witch hunt, erroneously staged by hooligans, non-coms, cowards, and oligarchs, whose only desperate and hideous goal is to discredit the genius that they relied on for almost three decades. Now and forever, you are a true patriot and hero of mine, and it's until the day I leave this star-crossed, imperfect rock we call Earth. Mr. W, respect, love, high fives, and refuge if you need it. I remain humbly and on dangerous standby at your service. I am the machine."
What is happening?
Charlie Sheen
is
stepping out to defend Brian Williams' honor.
How does he care that much about that specific story?
Because that's what was on television when he got at his highest point. And it seemed like it was important to him after the third eight ball.
Look, I get defending Brian. I get the people who go, look, it was a mistake. Move on. You know what I mean? Not that big a deal. He's got decades of good work. Give him another chance. We all make mistakes. But I don't get he's a patriot and a hero and
he's
he comes stay at my
things.
House and all the rest of that.
I remain dangerously in standby.
Where's all
what does that mean?
He's going to attack. He's going to be the Vatican assassin and we're all going to go down.
Wow. I thought he was past the crazy.
He's the machine.
He's the machine.
And if we're going to sick the machine on anybody, we got the perfect time and place. Apparently, Taylor Swift is going into the studio with Kanye West.
Yeah.
Time for a drone strike, boys and girls.
Hellfire missile?
Call him up. get SEAL Team 6 on the phone. We need him to go in hot because he told Ryan Seacrest that he's going to work with Taylor Swift. However, no one from Taylor Swift's camp will confirm the story. I don't blame them.
You get the feeling that Kanye just makes up life as he goes along, right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, but he always does it in the third person.
Sure.
So that's at least annoying.
When he was in our studio, it was a little scary because you realize this guy really believes what he's saying. And he's
yes.
crazy.
Yeah.
He's really crazy.
It's very aggressive
yeah.
about it.
Aggressively crazy.
I often look back on that and wished we had had some prior notice.
Some kind of heads up. Or
that
something.
He was coming. So we could have prepared ourselves better to deal with him. Because he got away with so much.
He did.
Because it was a surprise attack. And we just were all sort of on our heels because this famous person walked through the door and we weren't expecting him.
During the headlights.
Yeah.
And then you think later, you go, wow.
Yeah.
They're also kind of doing us a favor to run him in because he was
sure.
in the building for another reason. And
yeah.
we were a little bit worried about that. But
when he compared his wife, Kim Kardashian, to Elizabeth Taylor is when I should have stepped in. But
yeah.
I didn't.
It's hard to get your head around what's going on at that moment.
Yeah.
It really is.
It was a little surreal.
Wait a minute. Is he actually...
Yeah.
He sure thinks his wife needs a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, though.
He sure does. We could talk about her later on. I'm out of time. But okay. In the next hour, we'll talk about her open letter. I don't know if you
Kim Kardashian's read
her, not open letter, but most recent interview, where she said that she's tired of people saying that she got famous because she was in a sex tape.
But really? She got famous because she was in a sex tape.
Oh, Bean, don't let the facts get in the way.
What about the fact that that's true?
Ugh, you guys with your knowledge and facts. Today's celebrity birthdays, Josh Brolin, one of my favorite actors, 47 years old today. Actress Christina Ricci, she's 35 years old, as is actress Sarah Lancaster. You know her from Chuck. She's 35 as well. Indeed, my friend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:08.
What's everybody laughing at?
I just like this guy. That's all.
You like Kevin Smith?
Yeah, I like him.
Huh. Hey, everybody.
You guys should work together.
We should do something together.
Maybe we could do it this weekend.
How about that? What are you doing tomorrow night?
Friday night.
Let's do it tomorrow night.
Let's do a show.
This is how things get put together?
This is how showbiz works, man.
It's that simple.
This is how 50 Shades of Grey happens.
That's right. Am I wrong? I mean, I know it's like people are talking about it to death, but I was just trying to explain it to Ashley. Didn't that begin as slash fiction?
It did, yes.
Twilight slash fiction.
You're absolutely right.
So it was like Bella took Edward's blank and stuff like that.
Right.
And people liked it, and then they were like, you should keep going. And she turned it into something else?
That's exactly how it happened.
And she's a terrible writer.
It doesn't matter. I said that just in the car myself. I was going, and this book, it's artless. And I'm like, who am I? I made Tusk. I made Mallrats. Like, art doesn't matter. If the end game in this world is to keep a roof over your head and have enough money to do the things you want in life, like art, then bless this woman for founding a very, even if it's a bad book, she took something any one of us could do. That's what makes it irritating to the world. She took something that you don't even have to be talented to write slash fiction about Twilight.
Right.
You just have to have, some blood rushing through your erogenous zones. So she took that as a stem and built an empire. I saw a picture of her online today. She's like in her 40s and they're like with her 24-year-old husband. I don't know if that happened before the book, but good for her. That is the American dream. And everyone will, kind of crap on it and be like, nah, but it's not well written or, hey, anybody could do it. Yeah, but we didn't. She did. And I sit here kicking myself this morning going like, this movie's going to open. My kid. I said, what are you going to do for Valentine's Day? She's like, oh, me and my boyfriend are going to see 50 Shades of Grey. I was like, no, you're not. You're out of your mind. And she was like, you make movies where people curse. I was like, this ain't about cursing. But then I realized, I didn't even read the book, so I don't know. And also, I raised a smart kid. God willing, she'll be able to look at it and be like, yeah, this is stupid.
It's a movie.
But I'm going to have a conversation with her boyfriend right before they go, which is like, look, I'm pretty liberal. But, I come from Jersey where there are lots of swamps and places to bury kids that get experimental with my daughter.
He has to borrow a tie, Kevin. Don't let him go.
I'm like, here's a bow tie. That's all you get.
So let me just ask this follow-up question to populist Kevin Smith. If millions of people enjoy it That's the end game, right? That's
Bingo.
All that really. That's all that really matters. Doesn't have to be for everybody. Doesn't have to be for you or me or Ralph or Kevin. It just has to be for the people who want it.
That's something the internet only will only understand the more it ages. I mean, the internet will never understand that, but an individual understands that. The more they age, when they're young, a reaction to the success of somebody else is like, "Why not me? How come I'm not getting?"
Blah, right. Blah,
blah. But the older you get, and then you try to mask it with like, "Well, it's not my taste, so this is crap." But it's like the older you get, you're like, "Look, I understand. Like, there's going to be stuff that I just don't enjoy that other people absolutely love."
But here's the weird thing about this particular topic is that most of the women who love it will say it's bad. I'm embarrassed. It's bad.
Right. I mean, but what it's fun for them.
What is it,
it's
though?
Fun.
It's like
that's
a cigarette.
Porn,
it's a conveyance
though.
For something else. Like, it's not so much the nicotine that they're getting, although in this instance the nicotine would be the rush of like the dirty literature. It's the conveyance. It's the idea of like, I'm ingesting something I shouldn't. This is naughty.
Yeah.
And it's not good for you, just like cigarettes aren't good for you, but it's like, hey man, like who cares?
It's junk food.
It's junk
food.
Yeah. Like, no, we don't spend every waking moment of our lives like going like, what's the highest art I can watch? Right. I mean, I do, because I'm always like, how high can I be when I watch this art? Because then it becomes the highest art there
I've never once had that thought, ever.
I'm not going to see it, though. I mean, I'm not in a way of like, I'm like, oh, I'm against this movie. Not at all, but it's just not my cup of tea. And I'll probably watch it when it rolls up on Netflix or iTunes, but man, I don't think I want to be in a movie theater this weekend. It's going to be so moist. Damn. it's a date movie.
It's
comes
not,
on Valentine's Day.
I don't even know if it's a date movie. I know it's not for you.
Yeah, for you think?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I don't think now you're going to make me go. Lisa,
I don't think it's for men in general.
I think
makes it so fun for women is like there's so much porn for men, but this is like, because we
lady
don't
porn?
Like stuff that's so in your face. So this is, as you've said, is sort of soft core.
It's a mind app.
So what I'm hearing is no facial stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? I appreciate that.
Me too, to be fair.
Needed that clarification, though.
Yeah. However, if you were a single guy, that would be the theater to go to, because the vast majority of the women who love this stuff are single women who own a lot of cats
and
don't get it on a regular basis.
I like it.
I was just blowing up the lady who wrote that book as an American genius.
Yeah.
You, my friend, are an American genius.
You're
right, a single guy or a single girl. We're just going to clean up even more. It's just like, you want to get real experimental? I'm a lady with a tie. Guess what happens next?
It's a single guy and you need to leave first and just wait by the exit.
Yeah,
and just watch everybody.
With it out. And a tie in one hand and it out. And you know, some will be like, ew, but some will be like, hey.
Yeah. It's the shotgun approach. You're going to hit something. You're going to hit something on the target.
400 women in the theater, you only need one to be interested.
That's right.
Let me ask you this broader question, Mr. Smith, and that is, when you are writing a movie, do you think, who's this for? Who's my audience?
Obviously not. I mean, if you saw Tusk, I was like, if I would have asked the question, who is this for? The answer would have been no one. I would have stopped. But no, I, like this woman, what is her name? Somebody, we keep calling her this
woman.
I don't know.
James or something? Or,
yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
Something like that?
Ms. James.
E.L. James, I think is right. That's
E.L.
Right.
James?
Say it again, Dave.
E.L. James.
Just like, now I forgot what we were even talking about. We were trying to figure out.
Asking who you, if you keep an audience in mind when you're writing.
I doubt she was sitting there going, this is going to capture the minds of so many people. For her, she was writing for a very localized audience. If it started as slash fiction, it was
probably writing for her own vagina. It probably turned her on to write it as much as it does some people.
An audience of one or two, if you will. Yeah. And so it expands from there, just perhaps like the vagina that Ralph mentioned. Just try to tie things up. It expands from there where suddenly, like, she wasn't sitting there going, I bet you everybody's going to love this. Just like, I don't think there's some people, and particularly in this company town where we make sequels and threequels, where they sit down going, how will this make money? Will this please the audience?
Yeah.
And they're definitely thinking about the audience. Mm-hmm. Something like this doesn't feel like it was born, at least the book. The movie feels like, you know, oh my God, let's make money. But the book doesn't feel like it was an artist sitting there going, like, will they like this? It was an artist sitting there going, I love this. And that's kind of the point of the art. Like, we get bogged down in the business equation because sometimes, like in the case of a movie, millions of dollars are at play. So an opinion or, you know, somebody's imagination, they're staking so much money on.
Yeah.
When you're writing slash fiction on the internet, you're only wasting time, maybe. And that's not even true, because even if nobody likes it, and you do.
And you enjoy it.
You've expressed yourself. And that's the point of life. Express yourself as much as possible. This person's self-expression connected in such a way where people were just like, oh, my God, this is just naughty enough for me. Just like Lisa said. It's not straight out porn. It's just porny enough for a whole bunch of people who are like, oh, I'm so tired of in-my-face stuff. I want it in the other side.
There's not a single guy dressed up like a walrus in this whole movie. Did you know that?
That's a shame. Because you want to talk about taking it to the edge. I see these posters that are like curious.
Sure.
That would be real curious.
Yeah. All right. Kevin Smith is here. He's got a lot of great stuff coming up that we'll be talking about, including you and Ralph Garman tomorrow night are doing Hollywood Babylon for Valentine's Day, but you're not doing it on Valentine's Day. You'll be at the Hollywood Improv like usual, but you're not doing Saturday night. You're doing tomorrow night, correct?
Right. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., we're doing Hollywood Babylon, our special Valentine's edition. Now, what's more romantic than watching two middle-aged men make fun of celebrities?
Yeah, but the same people who are going to go watch 50 Shades of Grey could come watch two old dudes talk about 50 Shades of Grey.
And then Hollywood Babylon will be in 2 weeks, too, on February 27th at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are available for that show as well. And at the Ice House in Pasadena on the 28th, it's an evening with Kevin Smith. It's been a while since you did one of those. You can get tickets for all these shows at csmod.com. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Kevin Smith in studio with us right now. He and Ralph Garman's Hollywood Babylon are happening tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv, and then again on February the 27th. You can also see an evening with Kevin Smith at the Irvine Improv on Saturday, February 28th. Get all the details and tickets at csmod.com. What's this Marvel thing you're doing, Mr. Smith?
The Marvel Experience. It's really
is this cool.
It is cool. It's like I don't know how else to describe it except like it's a roving theme park. Kind of attraction.
Theme park.
They have these bubbles, these domes they put up that kind of look like Cirque du Soleil. I mean, that's what it's kind of is, a Cirque du Soleil for comic book people. Under these domes, you're going into S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, and you're watching these 3D movies projected overhead on the ceiling of the dome.
Well, that sounds cool.
Of Spider-Man teaming up with the Avengers, which, you know, is prescient. That finally, just happened, yeah. Finally. Yeah. Or is about to happen. And Wolverine's in there, and they're fighting the Red Skull. And a bunch of villains. One of the villains is MODOK, a very cult favorite Marvel villain, a dude who's a giant head with, you know, a little metal chair. And so they were like, appropriately enough, you should voice that. A giant head that never stops talking. So they asked me to come in and do a voice for it. I was like, totally. And they showed me the animation. And I was like, this is amazing. And then they were like, hey, do you want to be in the commercial for it? And so we shot a commercial with the director, Marcus Nispel, who's like a really like strong visual director, right? Like, I was sitting there watching the dude drinking stuff in, going, this is why I suck. And others are good. He just thinks to do things. And we shot this commercial where I play a security guard and you know, I'm in a booth and on an empty lot, and all of a sudden, like, the windows break, and there's a fireball from the sky, and I find Thor's hammer, and then Captain America's shield hits.
Dude,
and
it's like, look now, at you in the Marvel Universe.
I know, but somebody pointed out online, they're like, dude, you were in Daredevil, so you're already in the Marvel Universe. I'm like, eh, most people don't consider that the Marvel Universe, kids.
That's Marvel Universe. Amnesia.
It's kind of like being in the first two Fantastic Fours. They're like, yeah, it's Marvel, but not Marvel-less.
It's Marvel adjacent.
It sits right next to it.
That
but it
roves. Cool.
It's at Del Mar right now, and it's you walk through it, you know, you see, you're looking at museum exhibits, like things in glass cases, but then periodically, boom, a show appears over your head and you're looking up and watching it. And it's like kind of like a 2-3 hour experience. You go through and you play these interactive games where, like, you are Iron Man learning to fly your suit and you put on these Hulk hands and bust walls and stuff.
Man, Marvel does it right, don't
cool.
they?
It's crazy. Like, it's one of these things where, like, when they showed me, I was like, where was this when I was a kid? All we had were the ice capades. We were lucky to see some skater dressed up like Batman, yeah, right. And we were like, well, I guess this is good enough.
Bugs Bunny on ice.
You knew at the time that was bad, and then but it's all you had.
Then they did it years later in Batman and Robin. There's a whole scene where they bust out ice skates, and you're like, right. Wow, my childhood come to life in such a weird way.
Freeze everybody.
Oh, my Lord, you took me right there. Speaking of skating, man, ice skating.
Yes, yes.
Have you been watching? I know you're Kings guy.
I am.
Epix is doing, they took over the what was the HBO series? The Road to
the Stadium series, yeah.
And the kind of behind hockey series that HBO had been doing. Epix is now doing it, and they're doing the Road. They did previously the Road to the Winter Classic.
I love those.
Oh, my God. Love now those. They're doing the Road to the Stadium series. Even if you don't like hockey, it's pure art, man. It's like a documentary, but it's like hyped up like a movie. Lots of slow-mo. It has taught me that if you slow any shot down and put the right score under it, I will support anything.
Yeah.
You could put up footage of like Hitler talking. If you slow-mo it and put a really sentimental song, I might be like, wait, we should listen to this man.
You know, we were talking about the guy who started NFL Films just passed away.
Yes,
he is the genius.
He created the phenomenon that is American football because he did exactly what you're talking about. He slowed everything down. and put orchestras behind it and a voiceover
of like he throws the ball like a champion cheetah in the wilderness, you know, or something. The narration.
I never said that. But
cheetahs throw ball.
He created the drama of that event, and that's what Epic.
But that's what you need
hockey.
In order to be a sports fan. For somebody who's like, for my whole life, I was always like, why would I like this? It makes me sweat. But then when I fell in love with the sports film or, you know, the narrative, once they add a narrative to what is basically
you don't have to be a
child's game, you don't have to be a fan because you're just like, oh, this is like watching a movie. Yeah. So the Road to series is so damn good. Like they did the Road to the Winter Classic and it was the Hawks and
was it Pittsburgh? No.
Oh, Lord. And I did Hawks and Washington and the Caps.
Yes, Capitals. Yeah.
Hawks and Caps. Two teams that I really don't think about. By the end of that series, I was like, I should get a Hawks jersey. Why aren't I wearing the Hawks colors? And their coach was like my Patronus. I was going to say spirit animal. You're not supposed to say that. My Patronus. Like, this dude curses full head off and stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's fantastic. Yeah. Like, you put a camera on him. Forget the game.
Yeah.
Just watch the coach.
It's really fascinating.
But the series is so amazing. It'll take somebody who's not a hockey fan or sports fan at all and show you the beauty, the grace, the wonder of the game, get inside players' heads, create these narratives where it's just like you're watching a film. It's so artfully done. So they're doing one right now, and it's Los Angeles and San Jose because their stadium series is coming up, what, February?
February 21st, I want to say.
And they're playing out in San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose. That's right. The 49ers play. Levi Parker, Levi Stadium.
They build, as most people know, for those that don't, they build a hockey rink in the middle of some place they shouldn't. And a bunch more people come see the game than whatever come see a hockey game. So much so that the NHL, I'm sure, is like, let's just start renting out NFL like stadiums and play our games there because people will show up.
We had Luke Robitaille yesterday, and he was saying it was a long learning curve for the NHL to go, you know what, California actually can support this.
Yeah.
And it sort of had to learn by doing it at Dodger Stadium, and then they started going, hey, maybe this is actually a thing.
I would have thought immediately California, more than any place else, would support this. Like, you know, like, here's the novelty of playing hockey outside. And they did it, not California, but the NHL did it long before the Heritage Classic, which happened in, I think it was in Edmonton years ago. That's what began this thing, where they had, you know, the Edmonton team come together, play the old players from the Montreal team, and, you know, play outside. And then they had the two recent teams play outside. But even before that, when Gretzky was with L.A., they played outside in Vegas, remember?
They did.
At like Caesar's Palace or something?
Yeah.
And they were talking about there were bugs in the ice because the ice was melting so fast and the bugs were going toward the lions.
They didn't know what to do.
They had no clue. And they had a bunch of people, and that was before hockey was as mainstream as it is, a bunch of people like walking by going like, can I gamble on this? Like, but now you know how to sell an outdoor game, and these Epic specials sell it like even more. It's so beautifully done. And right now, I only bring it up because I know you're a Kings fan. I wanted to know if you were watching. They're doing Kings and San Jose. And again, two teams that I've been living out here now for 13 years in the same house all this time. And I love going to Kings games, but I always felt like a Johnny come lately because, like, I've got my team and stuff. And I felt like, what a poser if I show up going, yeah, yeah, LA. And then when they won cups, then you look like even more of a poser if you're like, yeah, yeah, LA. So I love
that. Justin Bieber's wearing a Kings hat. You can't really rock.
I don't want to be lumped in with that guy. Although he's getting a roast on Comedy Central. That's so
true,
maybe
man.
He's doing something right. So at the end of the day, I never felt like I could be like, I'm a huge Kings fan. But I love the Kings. I love the history of the organization. Like, I'm a big fan of hockey history. So Marcel Dion, of course, the Gretzky years, Luc Robitaille even, who I saw get into the Hall of Fame.
Hockey Hall of Fame, yeah.
I was there when he got inducted, and he read the speech. It was really beautiful. I saw him at a game years later, and I was like, that speech was beautiful. He's like, my wife wrote it. I was like, right on. Well, she's a great writer. But I love the organization, but this – like, has almost got me to the point where I'm like, all right, I might just start declaring Los Angeles as my team. Their coach is wonderful, too.
He is. About a month ago.
Oh, I love him so much. He was
too.
A Jersey coach at one point.
Yep.
He coached the Devils for a little bit. Oh,
Sutter is the best.
He is.
Especially in that post-game interview.
A little too chatty, though.
Have you seen He was Marshawn Lynch before Marshawn Lynch was Marshawn Lynch.
He's the Chuck Yeager of the NHL. Just like a legend. Like, this guy broke the speed barrier, the sound barrier. Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
This series, if you're not watching it, and people are like, where is it? It's on Epix.
I found out about a month ago. I was really angry that it wasn't on DirecTV. I was looking for it. I was like, how is it not on DirecTV?
You can get it online.
Yeah, I found that out, but I was surprised.
Epix is amazing because they have a channel, but if you can, like some places, some carriers don't always carry your channel. But the way they've set their business model up from the beginning is like you can get it on TV or you can get it on your laptop or your phone.
I love that Kevin Smith comes in and promotes things he has nothing to do with.
I just, well, to be fair, awesome. To be fair, I did, like, they asked me to do, after those episodes, Kevin Smith's Penalty Box, they gave me like 2 minutes. They put them up on YouTube where I react to the show. It's kind of like the world's shortest and loneliest version of The Talking Dead. So it's a post show that's only 2 minutes long and I kind of wrap it up. And all now right. they've run it at the beginning of each of the previous episodes. So I do
take
know
a
it.
Quick break. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. You can follow Kevin on Twitter, by the way, at that Kevin Smith. How many followers are you up to these days, by the way?
On Twitter, it's 2.7. Facebook's 2.2, and Instagram
That's
is
unbelievable.
220,000 or something like that.
You could, you could
not, no, there are people. That's not like, you know, like,
but you could, you could raise an army if you wanted to right now, though.
Yeah, but when you look at Bieber, who has 33 million or whatever that number is,
yeah, he can raise a bigger army.
And most of Kevin's followers are really stoned and slow, so they really wouldn't be much of an army.
It wouldn't be a Game of Thrones; it'd be Game of Stoners.
We'll be right back with Kevin Smith after this on K-Rock. Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a few more minutes. He, of course, is the co-host of Hollywood Babylon with our own Ralph Garman. You can see them tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets available through csmod.com. Playing later in the month, again on the 27th at the Improv, and then you'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena for an evening with at the Ice House. I think I mentioned that already. Hey, we had Mark Hamill on yesterday. Kevin.
Oh, what a good guy.
Your close personal friend. You had him in
I got to. I got to have a lightsaber. It wasn't a lightsaber because that was copyrighted. A bong saber fight with him and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And my mother was there. My mother and father were still – my father was still around. They were on set when we were shooting that. And so Mark Hamill's in the movie. He's playing a character. I can't even say his name on the air.
Right.
C-Knocker. The Knocker, if you will. And at one point, he has this bong saber fight with Jay and Silent Bob dressed as Blunt Man and Chronic. So there's my parents sitting on the side watching this, like, trying to figure out, should we be proud? You know, like, this is a pretty big building, so he did something right. But, like, what is this? And at one point, you know, between setups, Mark Hamill, who's a lovely human being, and very, like, hosty. Like, he'll come over, hey, how are you? And just start talking and chatting.
Wow.
So he goes over and talks to my parents, and he was like, oh, my God, you must be so proud of your son, blah, blah, blah.
And that's when they decided they were?
They well, my mom goes, she's going, I don't know. It's not much different from when he was a kid. He used to play with your action figure then, and now he's playing with you.
Wait, so your mom, like, said no?
Yeah, she was just like, nah, not yet.
That's
she's
awesome.
Like, wait until he wins an Oscar. And he was like, your son's never going to win an Oscar.
Well, I only brought it up because we were telling him that we had Matthew Vaughn on, the director of the new film that they're in together, and he was so starstruck by Luke Skywalker, he just couldn't get over it. And Mark Hamill thought that was very funny. And it happens to him all the time where people come up and go, oh, my God, you're freaking Luke Skywalker. I wondered if that ever happens to you at this point. Because now that you're, you know, like, palling around with Johnny Depp and stuff like that, do you ever get starstruck anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are definitely people that you see that you're – who was I talked about recently? I was in the Newark airport. And I was looking for my flight, and this was going back to after the Toronto Film Festival. And I look up, and I saw Bill Murray. Like, at first I was like, that looks like an old dude who looks like Bill Murray wearing a hat. And it was Bill Murray.
In the wild?
In the wild, in his natural habitat, roaming around Newark Airport. And I, you know, this guy, without Bill Murray, there is no Randall and Clerks. There is no Brody and Mars. Like, all of my characters are born from every character he ever played.
Yeah.
The kind of lovable loser who can say the truth or whatever.
Now, had you met him at any point before?
Never.
You don't know him. Okay.
Don't know him. Heard all the legendary stories about, like, man, if you want to get to him, there's a secret phone number and he might show up to your movie.
It's an 800 number. You have to leave a message. He doesn't have a manager.
I mean, play the game however you want. Like, right. And he's playing it his way. So, I revere the man, but I was like, you know, I don't ever need to meet him or anything like that. Here was a moment where we were actually going to cross paths, and I was like, oh, what do I do? Do I just, like, let him go, or do I say something? Do I stop him, give him a hug, tell him how much he means to me, blah, blah, blah. And by the time we reached each other, all I could say was, hey, Mr. Murray, and he goes, hey, and just kept moving. That was it. Two shifts in the night. But my knees were weak, and the whole flight home, I had a huge smile on my face because I'm like, that was Bill Murray in real life.
Yeah.
I've been watching this dude, like, on screens my whole life. For all I know, he could have been a fictional human being, but there he was in the flesh.
But that's the thing, is that this person has done so much that you have enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I was like that when I met Magic Johnson. I said, you're great, or something. Because you can't put into words everything that person means
to
you.
That's why I never wanted to meet Gretzky, because what do I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, other than
hey, you didn't say anything he hasn't heard before.
You were pretty good, man.
Yeah, like boy, you played the game your way, didn't you? Like, and I bet you that's what I would say, and he'd be like, "I sure did," and move on, just like that's your choice. Yeah, that guy dressing up.
Mark, you gotta make an impression if you meet him. Go, you're overrated.
Oh,
you know, do something that would stick.
Who am I? The internet? Just to be contrary, dude, I posted a picture yesterday. My dog died, and it's very sad. 17-year-old dog Mulder. I was gonna try not to talk about it, but it's kind of relevant. So I put up a picture in the morning on Facebook on this is my dog Mulder, because everybody who follows me, I've talked about those dogs in the podcast for years and lots of those stand-up specials I did. I tell stories about Mulder and stuff. So, you know, he's passing. We knew he was dying that day. Everything was shutting down. We had him for 17 years. I'm very thankful. That's a long time for a dog.
It is, yeah.
But, you know, it was
still sad.
I put a picture. Somebody had taken a picture of me holding the dog. Ashley took a picture of me holding the dog. Really beautiful picture. So I was like, I'm going to post
this. Beautiful picture, by the way. Heartbreaking, because you're holding the dog in a way to help him breathe.
Yeah, he could not even breathe. It got to the point where he couldn't lay on either side or his stomach. He was crippled from, like, the halfway point down. So the only way he could breathe at this point was kind of keeping him on his back, and he was taking these deep breaths. And Ashley was like, can I take a picture? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. But then when I saw the picture, I was so thankful. Like, all day yesterday, I was like, thank you so much for taking that picture. Like, I never would have known the moment myself, and I got to look at it. And it was so beautiful. I was like, I'm going to put it up online. And, you know, a lot. I tell you, man, it doesn't matter how many people can hate you in this life. If you're like, my dog died, all walls come down. Everybody.
So you didn't get all the hate that you normally get.
99% of it was
like, that you normally get. What the hell's wrong with you, Evan?
I do. I get. It used to be 50-50. Now it's 60-40 more negative. But this was like everybody was just like, you know, who's had a pet. Oh, my God, I feel you, blah, blah, blah. And I put up a thing about it, writing about him. And, you know, writing was kind of
touching. Mulder was overrated.
Thank you. Somebody had taken the picture, put it up on Reddit, and without the context of like what it was about, and they just said Kevin Smith posted this picture of his dog as dying or dead dog or whatever. And then, you know, a bunch of people were like, oh man, I get it, blah blah blah. But then there were a few people who were like, what an attention whore. Like, oh my God, he's just trying to get attention. So I had to go to Reddit and be like, look, here's the relevant part that was missing about my dog dying and how this was meant for the people who follow me on my sites and know this dog and blah, blah, blah. Believe me, now I can look at this and perhaps see how some, you know, person might want to call it attention whoring. That wasn't the intent. Blah, 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 blah. Had to explain it. I click on a link that somebody sends me. The Daily Mail in the UK, like one of their tabloid sites, has a story about, like, online controversy. Director Smith posts picture of him with dead dog.
Oh, God.
Fans irate and stuff. And I read the story, and it's basically, it's a non-story. It's about how I responded on Reddit to some people going attention whore. I was like, no, this is why I posted it. But the indirect thing was like, it was a story about things that had just happened with my dead dog's picture. But what blew my mind was like, they went on to give my dog an obituary in a British newspaper where they're like, Mulder.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, Mulder was like, his longtime companion Scully died 3 years ago. Mulder is survived by Shecky and Louie. Well, they identified her as Lily, but like another mistake. But I was like, this blew my mind. In the middle of like me feeling really bad, because like this was our first child. This dog was the bridge to us having a kid. Like, we found out Jen was pregnant, and we're like, we barely knew each other. Month into the relationship, she pregnant and stuff. There's no plans for us. And we were like, well, all right, let's have it. This will be cool. But we didn't know if we could be parents. So we were like, well, let's get a dog. And we got a dog. We named it Scully. We were huge X-Files fans. And, you know, Scully was, for the first week, just up in our grill. And we were like, this is irritating. Let's get another dog to watch this dog, proving that we would be good parents. And so we went and got him older. And Scully was $600. Man, which is the most I'd ever paid for anything in my life. I bought her at the mall, and I was, and Jen was like, "We got to get a yellow lab. They're good with kids." So there's the only yellow lab in the mall, $600. I was like, "I can't pay money for dogs. They throw these away. We can go to a shelter and get a."
Yeah.
And she says, "No, we need this dog." So we got that one. The next dog we got, which was Mulder, to accompany this dog. She's like, "Let's not go to the mall. Let's go to like a breeder's kennel where they got pedigree dogs." I said, "Okay." And I'd never been to anything like that. And we go, and there are these gorgeous puppies. Like, Scully was too big to fit in her cage. Her face was mashed against it. Oh. She'd been marked down from 2,000 to 600 and stuff. The next markdown was like, she going away. You know, she was too big for the cage. There's Mulder, a little handful of love, furry love. And there's like four look exactly like the whole litter of pups. She goes over, picks up this one, and she's like, oh, this is the, let's get this one. Like, right on. Barely know this woman. We're 2-3 months into a relationship.
Right.
Take this little pup over to the counter, slap it up on the counter. I'm like, we'll take this one. And they're like, $5,000.
What?
And I was, I'd never spent anything like that in my life, dude. Like, I bought a Dodge Neon when Clerks took off. Even that didn't cost $5,000. And I was like, it was at this moment.
That's insane.
It was nuts. And I was like, what do I do? Because I barely know her. And I'm like, I'll get you a dog. And I can't turn around and be like, can we get an affordable dog? You know, so I sat there and like shelled out and paid for this dog, which we weren't even allowed to take home for like 2 days. But
did
that dog
speak English?
He did, and he wrote my last 4 good flicks.
That's great.
Not the Tusk stuff
before he quit
that.
On you.
He was amazing, like worth every penny he did. He was just like, I ain't doing this unless I get credit. That's I was right. like, no. He was worth every penny. Like I'm not braggy about money at all. And that I hurt to pay in that moment. Mm-hmm. But here now, 17 years later, best investment in my life. Like that dog was unequivocally one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life.
And the follow-up to that story, which you were mentioning off the air earlier, is what you're going to do probably next.
Yeah, like thanks to that, like on the online interactivity, like why I posted the picture is like, you know, when people die, you go to a funeral, you sit around with old friends and you tell stories, and that's how people stay alive. Like you don't sit in a room by yourself and like, oh, I miss them.
Right.
There's a time for wailing and feeling that primal agony. But when somebody passes, it's a bridge to get together with people that you haven't spoken to in years to share the stories, man, of like epic tales of what this person was in life.
So you called Mulder's littermates?
I did. I was just like, hey, man, what happened to you guys? He went to California. But all the people online, all the interactivity, like people pouring out their hearts about their stories and stuff. There's a lot of like passages of these, you know, things written from a dog's perspective of like the dog's will. This is what I want from you. And it's just like the road to, because it's like you slow something down, put a narrative track on it. I'll believe you. Tell me my dog thought this.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you could never know that. I'm like, I believe it. But the overwhelming thought seems to be like in all these, my, you know, if your dog could speak, it's like, don't. Like, my brother just lost his dog. He had to put it down. He's like, I'm never getting another dog. I can't go through that pain.
Right.
And in this thing, the dog is saying, please don't do that. Take all that love that you had for me and give it to a dog that has not had that love. Go find a shelter dog. He wasn't like, go get one of them $5,000 dogs.
Right.
Thank God, because I'm only doing that once. But he was like, in this dog, you know, will thing that somebody wrote and tricked me into believing. But it's so beautiful. It's like, take that love. If you want to honor me and my passing, go find a dog that has never known that its whole life and start showering affection. So I was like, I'm going to do that. Now, online, overwhelmingly positive. There are a few people who are not dog people who are just like, it's just a dog, move on. And I understand that. Like, you know, if some person was like, my tortoise died and I'm heartbroken, I'd be like, come on, dude, I have a tortoise.
Right.
Like, they don't even know you exist. But like, I give it up to anybody. You bond when you're a human being, more of a human being when you spend your life taking care of something. And I spent the last year of my life carrying that dog around like Hodor. He couldn't walk, so I would just put a scarf under him and walk him around and stuff, and then he couldn't even do that. So you care for something, it makes you a better human being. And some people, I'm not saying they're wrong for this, but they don't do that. You know, you don't care for something, and then you're just like, ah, it's just a dog. It's never just a dog. Like, that was our first child. It was crazy.
You go to a shelter, you can buy 5,000 dogs.
That's what I'm saying. I could walk in with money and be like, I'll take them all. Yeah. And they're like, what are you going to do with them? I was like, let them loose in L.A. The wild dogs of Los Angeles.
That's a beautiful tribute and a beautiful story, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
Take your advice and go out and get a shelter dog, because that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to
do. Or go kick a cat for a dog. That's what I like to do for dogs. I go kick cats.
We're out of time.
We love dogs. We hate cats. No, I'm a cat person, too. I love
We're out of time, but tomorrow night, Hollywood Babylon for Valentine's weekend. It's going to be fun, right?
A lot of love, man. There's going to be a lot of love in that room. If you don't wind up having sex with somebody after that show, we didn't do our job right.
Hollywood Improv, tickets on sale through csmod.com, and again on the 27th, and then an evening with Kevin Smith at the Ice House in Pasadena on the 28th. Let's hear it for our friend Kevin Smith stopping by.
Thanks, folks. Good seeing you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:59.
Our weekly visit with Jim Rome talking sports coming up next here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, I have a little time here, but I did promise you about an hour ago I'd read you some of the quotes from this new interview Kim Kardashian gave in Love magazine, where she gets naked, shockingly.
What?
In a photo shoot, but she also did an interview, and she talks about how she's sick of people crediting her sex tape with Ray J for making her famous.
But wasn't that what made her famous?
Maybe that's how some people heard about me, but I didn't launch my career off of that.
But didn't she?
She says in the magazine where she's posing nude.
I think Kevin's asking some viable questions here.
That was 12 years ago. No, 13 years ago now.
Okay. It doesn't change how she got started, though, right?
I'm so tired of people asking me, what do you do? Under my breath, I want to say, ask my effing bank account what I do.
Oh, snap! Snap!
She's amazing.
That's strong.
Regarding her reality show, we've had more episodes than I Love Lucy. I guess that makes it good because there's a lot of it.
You know, well, look what the whore cat dragged in.
You know what else? There's a lot of Kim poop. It's yeah, a lot of poop in the world.
That's true.
Doesn't make it gold.
It's tough to argue.
Look, she was able to make something out of being famous. Okay, I don't understand how she did it, but she did it.
But she doesn't do anything.
But that doesn't mean she didn't get started with the sex right. tape. It would be like Kelly Clarkson saying, look, I've had a 15-year career and I've won lots of Grammys and I've sold millions of records. But she can't take away the fact that she got discovered on American Idol.
Stop
That's
saying
just the
I
truth.
Got my start on American Idol. It's just not the case.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. No matter what she's accomplished since then, the sex tape is what started it all for her.
She also says she's obsessed with murders and dead bodies.
What?
I must run in the family because your father got OJ off. You whore.
A little out of time for her, Ralph?
No.
Not a lot of patience for her?
I'm just... The whole family. A whole bunch of them. It's just...
It's an ugly group.
It's a freaking... It's just a sideshow. They're just a bunch of sideshow freaks, that whole family.
Do you get any satisfaction knowing that she has to live with Kanye West, though? Does that make you a little bit happy?
Yeah, that can't be a day at the beach,
no,
right?
No, it's terrible.
Because look at his grumpy ass. Just doesn't smile and goes around angry about pointless things, about shoes.
He's got
and
a huge chip on his shoulder
leather,
all the time.
Leather pants and things. He's constantly upset about something. And she just has that deer in the headlights look whenever she's around him. That's got to be just a nightmare, right?
I got to say, out of all the people who have won 25 or more Grammys, no one is less satisfied with the Grammys than Kanye West is.
He sure has something to say about that, doesn't he? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Josh Brolin's 47 years old today. Christina Ricci's 35 years old. And actress Sarah Lancaster, who famously played Chuck's sister on that TV series with Zachary Levi, she's 35 years old today. I always thought she'd make a great Wonder Woman.
Interesting.
She'd make a good Wonder Woman, but that ship has sailed. So, sorry, Sarah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do like I do at 9 o'clock and stop listening to the Kevin DeBeat Show and instead switch over to AM 980 The Beast and listen to our friend Jim Rome doing his show on one of 240 radio stations nationwide. The Jim Rome TV Show airs CBS Sports Network every afternoon at 3 and Jim Rome on Showtime every month. He joins us this week, this time every week here on the Kevin DeBeat Show on Carrick. That was a terrible introduction, Jim. Yes. I'm sorry, but welcome, sir. How are you?
That kind of did suck. Yeah, you guys have done much better. What's up, fellas?
I lost my place. Listen, I know there's a lot of stuff to talk about in sports all the time. We always look forward to our visits with you. But I have to say, I can think of nothing else but Karl Malone and Kobe Bryant in a boxing match. Please tell me that there's something to this and that it will one day happen.
Hey, I think that's not going to happen. But for Karl Malone to say after the fact that he's willing to knuckle up anytime Kobe wants to, I don't know. I normally do not bet against the Mamba, but Karl Malone is big and he's bad and he'll go now. We know who will go and who won't go. Karl Malone will go. Kobe will too, but I think they should leave it alone. We don't need to see that.
Why is Karl so upset?
You know, I think that I don't know that he's still so upset. He did an interview. Somebody asked the question and he obviously has not let it go. You know, that thing goes way, way back. Yeah. And I'm not sure they ever fully resolved it, but clearly it's still rattling around in Karl Malone's head. I doubt that Kobe's going to respond, but Carl's a different cat now. He's a really different cat. I remember the first time I interviewed him, I was doing a TV show and I had my notes in front of me on a clipboard and he ripped them out of my hand right before we went on air and he threw them across the room and he goes, let's see how smart you are now, Rome.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Did you sucker punch him?
No. All right. He's like 6'9", 260.
Just asking.
No, but he'll test you. He will test you.
Yeah. What is he doing now? What is Karl Malone doing now?
He's picking fights with Kobe, shaving his head with a pocket knife, apparently, waiting to be called for interviews. He's always been one of my favorite guys. He once said to me back in the day, I am the only African-American redneck in this country.
That's awesome.
Could be true.
It might be, you know, but he's just a different cat. He's probably still on his life cycle outside in 120-degree weather, knocking out 1,000-calorie workouts. He's just a different dude.
All right. Speaking of basketball, let's bring it back to the present if we can. Our producer, Dave, who, as you know, is a huge Clippers fan, has been bitching a lot about Doc Rivers this year, thinking that with the talent that they have, injuries aside, with the talent that they have, he doesn't think Doc has done a great job. He thinks they've got a terrible bench. He thinks he hasn't been a good coach this season, certainly hasn't lived up to the expectation that Clippers fans had. What are your thoughts, Jim?
Hey, Dave, why do you got to hate? Why do you got to hate, man? You know, there's something to it. They have not lived up to expectations, and Dave's right about that. I said before the year started that they were the team to beat in the West, and right now they look like they could be an early out. Now, Clipper fans will have you believe that it's all good, that these guys have not forgotten how to play, that Doc hasn't forgotten how to coach. They're just cruising through the regular season, and then they'll throw the switch for the playoffs. And they better hope so, because right now they look like they could be a quick out. Blake's all staffed up. They're all banged up. They don't look good, and I can't sit here and tell you it's going to be all right, because it might not.
It's a tough way to go when you're just hoping to flip the switch just before the playoffs. That
it never works.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work, yeah. Especially for those guys.
Yeah,
so I would not count on it.
It's one thing if you've got a team, you know, like the Lakers used to be or the Celtics used to be, a team that goes to the playoffs a lot and has a consistent track record and wins a lot of championships. The Clippers have won, what, like two or three playoff games in the last 10 years. I mean, it's not like they've got a legacy to fall back on.
No, they don't. They're not San Antonio. San Antonio can do this because they're older and they've been there before. They can cruise and throw the switch, but the Clippers can't rely on that. And when you look at it, they've got some holes. I mean, Doc Rivers, I'm a huge Doc Rivers guy. He's a great coach, but he's not a great GM, at least not yet. And there are needs that he has not addressed. He's made some moves that were kind of head scratchers. So they're going to need to be much better than they are. And if they're banking on throwing the switch, that's a pretty dangerous game to play.
DeAndre Jordan has got to be the biggest snub of the All-Star weekend this weekend. It's in his hometown of Houston. He's going to be watching it on TV and watching Dirk Nowitzki play instead. What happened there?
Yeah, well, Dirk's Dirk, and he's always going to get that call. And by the way, this is good. I mean, DeAndre probably deserves to go, but he's not going to go, and then he's going to get bitter, and he'll have a chip on his shoulder, and he can use that as fuel. Doc's playing it perfectly. He's going to battle for him. I mean, in the end, they got much bigger issues, but it could be a good thing. If this guy locks in and uses that as fuel for the second half of the year, that'll be a good thing, and he'll end up going at some point.
Speaking of running the team, let's talk about Jim Buss and Magic, who is now questioning if Jim Buss can actually do it.
Magic took a sledgehammer to Jim Buss, and I got to say, Irv is right. I mean, Magic's not known for absolutely wrecking guys in the media. In fact, it's the opposite. He tweeted out a list of guys that he thought should be in the running for the MVP. He listed half the league. So if Magic is taking a 2x4 to you, you probably deserve it, and Buss does deserve it. Let's face it. It's the franchise that gave us the logo and Big Game James, and now they start Ryan Kelly and Bob Sacre.
Yeah.
So Magic's right. Buss doesn't know what he's doing. And instead of trying to prove to people that he does, he should surround himself with people who actually do. Until then, the guy is an embarrassment to Magic, me, you, this whole town, and they're a laughingstock league-wide.
You said months ago that the Lakers should do everything they can to lose every game this season. Why not go for the better draft pick next year? It sounds like they took your advice. What are they
up to now? I was going to say, they finally listened to me. Man, they finally wised up. I said before the year that the over-under would be 22 wins. They're not even going to get there. So they're doing the right thing. But Magic made the point of saying that this is Buss's biggest offseason ever. He's right. I mean, they're doing the right thing. You're going to get that draft pick. Get the draft pick. Now they have to convince somebody to take their money this offseason.
We're talking to Jim Rome here on the Kevin Bean Show, of course, the host on The Beast at 980, 9 till noon every day. Let me read this from ESPN. This is no longer about hype, hyperbole, or what-ifs and maybes. What shared belief accomplished Saturday in San Antonio at Santa Anita could only have been accomplished by a super horse. He faced a Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner and a Horse of the Year in California Chrome and didn't just beat him. He won with arrogance. Jim Rome, that's your horse they're talking about, shared belief. Tell me what Saturday was like for you, sir.
Saturday was incredible, and we own that horse, my wife and I, in a partnership, so we've got a few partners, so it's not just our horse, but I was in a hotel room in St. Louis for an appearance that I had to do, a corporate appearance, so I watched that whole thing, ordered up a beer from room service, watched our horse get after it, and
oh, you're by yourself,
awesome.
Jim?
No, my manager, Craig Kitchen, was with me. I called him, but I got to tell you, it was awesome. I mean, it would have been better to be there, but seeing it in a hotel room was pretty damn good, and we got what we wanted, two of the best horses in the world head-to-head coming in. And let the best one win. And on that day, Share Belief was great. It was awesome. Even you dudes would like horse racing if you saw that.
Seriously.
Maybe.
So what is next?
Maybe going to dog races soon enough.
This race, what happens next for Share Belief?
You know, he's got a race that we're pointing to next month at Santa Anita called the Big Cap, the Santa Anita Handicap. So, not to bore you with horse talk, but if he, quote, comes out of the race fine and he's healthy and he's happy and he's sound, we'll run him again next month here in Santa Anita.
Very exciting, Jim. Congratulations.
And you guys will be there. And you will be there.
Yeah, we'll be there.
No, you'll be there.
No, we're not going to be there, Jim.
You'll be there.
We're not going to be there. I'm telling you the truth.
For Jim Rome.
So we'll go to St. Louis. We'll sit in a hotel room. We'll watch it again.
I'll do that.
Sold. Thanks for the time, Jim.
You guys are great. Awesome. See ya.
It's funny because normally Geronimo will... He was an American Indian, right?
Yeah, right.
And it's
normally related to when somebody is either jumping out of a plane, you yell Geronimo, or like in your song, Bombs Away,
right.
They yell Geronimo. Why do they yell Geronimo? I think it was in the movie Naked Gun.
Mugs, we have to move on.
Oh, no, maybe it was Hot Shots Part 2. It was either way. I think it was Hot Shots Part 2.
Please
where they're
stop.
All jumping out of the plane.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And all the guys, like, they're in the Air Force and they're jumping out. And
they
then
yell Geronimo.
This American Indian jumps out of the plane. They're all yelling Geronimo.
Right,
and this American
right.
Indian jumps out. And he's like, myself!
Stupid. That was a stupid aside. I'm sorry. Bring that up.
That okay. was a stupid
you sure,
aside.
You sure bring that to life,
Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up at 9. Ralph Garman, I know that you are interested in this story with Kendra Sunderland, who has been in the news lately.
Even the name is hot.
Yeah, the name is hot, and she is ridiculously hot.
She's on fire. She's en flambé.
She grew up in Salem, Oregon. She is 20 years old. She graduated from West Salem High School 2 years ago. In the fall of 2013, she enrolled at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. She thought she wanted to become a counselor, took a few classes, didn't like it. Then she switched to business and economics, thinking she might be an accountant, which would have been a huge waste of her boobs, by the way. She decided eventually that the 9-to-5 world wasn't for her. Then she talked to a friend who was making money on webcams, myfreecams.com.
Yeah.
She did her first show in October, made about $150 for an hour's work. And she
$150
said,
bucks an hour?
Yes.
Yep, just for showing off her bits and pieces.
Strong.
Yes. So now she's hooked on that. And the reason she is in the news, Ralph Garman, what has beautiful Kendra Sunderland done now?
Well, Kendra's there taking care of business. She's an entrepreneur.
On the webcam?
On the My Free Cams.
Okay.
She will entertain gentlemen with removal of her clothes and the touching
all
of
right.
her body.
I don't see any problem with that. So far, consenting adults doing a legal practice.
That's right. And, you know, the thing about My Free Cams is, you know, it's My Free Cams. You get on My Free Cams, or so I'm told. And if you tip the ladies, if you give them, donate some money towards them, they'll take you and you can get a private show or they will
okay.
do more the more you give. So she was there, just did taking care of business, and she happened to be in the school library.
With people walking behind her in the shot, she was told that if she did a sex show in a public place that she could earn more money, and she made over $700 for that less than half an hour work in the library.
Because it's taboo, it's sexy, and guys who have a thing for college girls see you on campus in the library. This is their biggest fantasy come to life. And she's chewing bubble gum and she's blowing bubbles.
Oh, and, she's just adorable.
And she's all right, creepy.
Take it easy.
You're the guy who can take a story about porn and make it creepier.
What? I said she was adorable. What's creepy about that?
It's just the way you say it.
I can hear the duct tape in your voice
right.
when you talk. And so she's undoing her hoodie and she's dropping her pants and she's just the best.
She
and
is.
And then
best.
Some people got upset because somebody who was watching. On their home computer or monitor or whatever was capturing the footage, and
okay.
then they uploaded it to Pornhub, I think, or one of these sites.
Okay,
and it got around that she was doing this, and the school found out, and the authorities
that
found
she was
out.
Using their library. That's what.
And now there's a big hullabaloo.
Oregon State University has banned her from the campus, by the way. She has also been banned from My Free Cams for violating the site's guidelines by doing it in the public library. So she's gone to another site, I guess, and she's going to continue to do the work. She says she plans on doing modeling. She's having the time of her life. Her parents aren't crazy about it. They are no longer supporting her. And did we hear a clip, Kevin, that the police ended up getting involved and she
yes.
ended up being fined for the thing too, right?
Yeah, for public indecency.
I can't play the clip because it's from Huffington Post. And they're just god
awful. They're the best.
They're
the best, Kevin.
Awful.
How dare you play it?
I'll play the beginning.
No. You don't want to hear it, Ralph.
Play
you
it.
Really don't. It's super bad. All right.
A
so,
19-year-old Oregon State University student whose sexy porn video in the college's library went viral.
Bean could do sexier.
Good read, by the way, for that lady. All right. So the reason we bring all of this up, Oregon State webcam girl Kendra Sunderland in the news, the reason we bring all of this up is to say, A, Lisa, how proud of you, of us are you that she's coming in on the show next week?
Oh, wow.
Okay. First of all, newsmaker on the show. That's what we need, more newsmakers, because we are a serious journalist outlet.
That's correct.
It's so funny how many things we see in the news that we have no interest in booking the participants, but this one we said, Dave, get her. So she's coming in next week. But two is, this does bring up, excuse me, an interesting phone topic that we haven't done in a super long time, which is people who are part-time porn actors.
part. They're in somehow in the porn industry part time. Like, she was a student and did this on the side to make money. There are lots of people who are homemakers who are making it, who have a 9-to-5 job that are also making
money.
Look,
for part time sex workers.
That's right.
Someone who augments their income by doing a little sexy on the side.
So what would fall under that category? Webcam work obviously would be one thing.
Obviously,
what else?
She was a full time student, but she was doing webcam work on the side, and so that helped her.
I would think phone sex
get along.
Too.
Phone sex. Absolutely. If yep. you maybe you're an escort, maybe you spend time with gentlemen who are lonely, who need an escort to an event or something.
They're not
like
paying
that.
You for sex.
No, that's a decision you make as sending adults after the fact.
Right.
They're just spending time with you.
Exactly.
Perhaps you're doing some sexy modeling, whatever it is. If you're a part-time sex worker, we want to hear from you. And I would assume we're looking for either men or women in this call-in topic.
Yeah,
right?
But let's be honest. We're going to go to the women.
Yeah. Because the guys will be like, yeah, I'm a gigolo, and I've got a 12-foot penis, and women love me.
Apparently there is, again, it's a legal thing to do, and yes. There's a lot of money to be made in it. So,
and you can give us a fake name if you want, if you need
yeah,
to protect
absolutely.
Yourself.
Or you
so
can
how,
give
how's
us
that
a website or
sure.
a link or something if you would like to show off your
maybe
work.
A password.
Yeah, sure.
There you go. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for our own Kendra Sunderlands in the audience. You're a part-time sex worker. We want to hear your story. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. On the Kevin Amin Twitter account, Darth is accusing us of playing date rape on purpose because of the phone topic
it.
We're
Come
doing
on
a part-time sex worker. That is absolutely not the case. It was not intentional. That was happened to be the song that was up next. But we are talking to part-time sex workers right now on the Kevin Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Harley, Don, Lisa, everyone, please hang on. It all got started because of a woman in the news named Kendra Sunderland. Last week, she made international news really because she did a My Free webcam show from the library at Oregon State University.
Now, is it just me, or is it sexier because it's a real person who has a real life doing it, rather than a professional porn star, porn actress doing
it? I feel like it's probably a little sexier.
It's a lot sexier.
I think
it's a ton more sexier.
Well, Ralph, you would know the breakdown of how people prefer their porn online and whatnot. I mean, amateur porn is one of the most popular categories, right?
Absolutely. And these cam shows are just blowing up. Couples are doing them now to make money. Men, women, all different varieties.
You just do it out of your house, right?
Absolutely. Hmm.
Let's talk to, or the school library. Let's talk to Harley. She is in Reseda. She's on line one, please. She's apparently been doing this for some time. Hey, Harley, welcome to the Kevin Beach. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So we're talking about part-time sex workers. You have something that you do full-time, but then you're doing this on the side for extra money. Tell us your situation, please.
Correct. Basically, I've owned businesses. Right now, I'm basically doing full-time clerical work, really good high-paying job. And once I ended up in a divorce and things were going south, I started doing this in order to supplement income.
And this is webcamming?
Correct.
Okay.
And what's the money like for you for webcamming, if that's not too personal a question to ask? Because
no, it's actually pretty neat because I can pretty much decide how much I need to make. And everything varies, you know, and for me, I don't have to make a ton of money because I have a normal job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I pretty much make sure that I make between $300 and $500 extra a week. And it's probably just a couple hours.
Wow. You know,
a
couple hours a week nets you another $300 to $500.
Correct.
That's
unbelievable. And you can do it from your house, and you can work whenever you want. If you don't feel like working that night, you don't have to. It's just completely, completely in your hands.
Exactly. And it's super cool. I meet tons of new people, and of course, I'm very secretive. Nobody really knows who I am. But I can also become whoever they want me to be.
Right.
Which is also part of the fun is, you know, I can live anywhere. I can do anything. You know, it's really open-ended, and it's really interesting, you know, even on a psychological basis to see, you know, what they want and they desire that they can't get from maybe their spouse or the girlfriend or whatever.
Are you ever afraid that people at work might find out what you're doing?
Yes. There's very, very few people who know what I do.
Right.
And, you know, they're really close friends, and I'm very guarded with what I do because it is very taboo.
Sure.
You know, and I don't
shouldn't be, by the way. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing at all.
Well, I'll be the judge of that. Send me a link so I can see what you're doing, and then I'll be the judge.
Harley, let me ask you this. Is it, and then we got to move on to, we got some other great calls, but man, it's great talking to you. Is this strictly a business transaction for you, or are you turned on by it and really enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely a heavy turn on. I think that there's something really neat about having that connection with somebody, you know. So, yeah, there's definitely a turn on. And at the same rate, yes, it's very business. I don't go beyond business whatsoever. But, yeah, there's definitely a turn on by being wanted and desired in a weird sort of way.
Yeah, well, in the weirdest possible way, I'll tell you that much.
I'm glad
that's
you
how
called.
I desire you. Really weird.
I especially appreciate your discretion because you're pretending like we don't know each other. But thank you, Harley, for dialing in today. We really appreciate it.
Creepy beans.
All right, let's go to – there's nothing creepy. Let's go to Dawn. She's in Sherman Oaks. She's up next. She's on line two.
Hey, Dawn.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, hi, Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn.
How much are we paying per minute for this call right now?
$12.99.
Oh! All right, what's your deal? What do you do by day? What do you do by night, please?
At the time, I worked in a hospital, and then by night, I would go home and work for a phone sex company.
And how did you make the decision to go there?
We needed some extra cash. And it was easy. My friend already worked there, and he was like, "You should totally come do it because you have a great voice and you would be good at it."
At some point, did you say no to the day job because you're starting to make more money, or no?
No,
not at all.
No,
okay.
It was always just a little extra cash.
It was just a little extra cash. I was a single parent at the time, so it helped.
Every little bit.
How
helps.
Long did you do it, Dawn, before you said, "All right, I'm tired of that"?
For about a year and a half, because it became my day job was a receptionist, so I was on the phone all day, and then I was on the phone all night.
Yeah, right.
So it wore out my vocal cords.
And then you heard, check out your, what are you wearing? Check out your clothes.
Pretend you're naked lying on a map.
Let's say you're a map. Let's say you're a weathercast person.
Tell me you like Denny's.
What I love about Harley and Dawn, though, is they could set their own hours, and they could do it from home, and it's completely safe, by the way.
Bean's going to start webcamming.
Bean's going to start webcamming.
Too. Yeah.
All right, Dawn, you are awesome as well. Thank you so much. Do we have any more time?
I've
here,
got
Kevin?
All day.
We have all day.
I've got
yeah.
nothing but time for these ladies.
All right. Let's talk to Jody real quick in Woodland Hills, because if I understand correctly what I'm being told, she's counseling girls out of doing part-time porn work, and we won't stand for that.
She's our arch nemesis.
Jody?
I am your arch nemesis.
What are you doing? What's wrong with
How
you?
How can you be so wrong?
Stop it.
Okay, so here's the deal. It's from what I've been listening to, it's totally glamorizing this sexual exploitation of women. I sit with these women, and I'd say about 85% plus have been sexually abused as children.
All this right, not, Dr. Drew, come
this
on.
This is not the fun we had hoped for.
By the way.
What?
But come on, listen. You know what? I work at...
You're breaking up.
I've worked at a drop-in center for 9 years, and these women come in, and as a little girl, nobody grows up and says, I want to do...
Jody hijacked our show just now.
Right, but a little girl doesn't have to support herself and doesn't get to make adult choices that are right for her, though.
Right, but here's the thing. It's the hardest lifestyle to get out of because it's not reality. I mean, I work with women that make maybe $1,000 a day. Who does that?
That does sound terrible.
Yeah, but I think you're talking about women in movies.
Yeah, you're talking about porn
and
actresses
I think we're talking
or hookers
about
or something?
Women that do some part-time work that have real lives.
Here's what I know. This was fun before Jody.
Yeah. Thanks, Buzzkill.
It's a little different.
I know that happened.
Listen, I'm sure you know what you're talking about, and I'm sure there are women who are exactly as you describe, but not our listeners.
Right.
Right.
Our listeners are all happy.
That's the good
our
ones.
Point. They're hot and they're happy. Jody, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman. What's going on, man?
The greatest thing ever.
The greatest thing ever?
Yes. Now, you ever wonder what that is? I wonder what the greatest thing ever is. Well, now I have your answer.
All right.
It happened today.
The greatest thing ever.
Four new Spice Girls songs have been leaked online. Four new Spice Girls songs.
Yeah!
Hot girl, turn the volume. What's going on? Hot girl, turn the volume. Gonna have some fun.
Just when we thought there was no more Spice Girl music, four new songs leaked online today.
Since the day I met Ralph, he's had a crush on the Spice Girls. Yes.
Four new Spice Girls songs.
Now, these aren't demos of old songs. These are new songs
these
we've never heard before?
These are new songs never before heard.
All
recorded
right,
in the late 90s, just
I'm
before
interested.
They broke up.
Okay.
Four new Spice Girls songs!
We heard you say that.
Do we have some of those?
I do have a little sample for you. Here's one called Right Back at Ya.
We're oh, come in the sky, on. Keeps on turning.
That's not funny. Come on!
That's very Spice Girls.
I am shaking my ass.
That is very Spice Girls-y.
Here's another one called If It's Loving on Your Mind.
I can give you what you want.
Are we going to have a time at the Spice Girl fan club meeting tonight?
Is there such a thing?
Oh, I got to bring the Cheetos.
Well, I mean, it's big news if you're a Spice Girls fan, I guess.
How dare you?
That's about my level of excitement.
You bastards.
I'm happy for you. I feel like I had enough Spice Girls in my life, but I get where you're coming from.
Spice up your life.
Yeah.
Yep. I will tell you, though. That movie is one that you come across it, you watch it. I do know that.
Oh, yeah.
I do know that that's true. That movie is awesome.
The hell it is. Yep.
Take it easy.
Hey, did you know Miley Cyrus is in a porn movie?
I'm sorry. I thought you said Miley Cyrus is in a porn movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's a short film called Tongue Tied, and it's a bondage film featuring Miley in various states of bondage and undress. It is.
But there's no real nudity in it, right?
I mean, there's just some pretty good nudity. Hmm. It's her tied up, naked.
But
it is being screened at the New York City Porn Festival.
Right.
And she says she was proud to make the film with director Quentin Jones, but she's not participating in its promotion in any way. So,
This guy saw it.
Yes, he did.
I bet our listener Jody hates that it exists.
Oh, come on now.
I bet she's counseling Miley right now to not do it.
You know, Charles Manson called off his engagement.
What?
Yeah, you know, he's going to marry that 27-year-old in prison, but he called it off. You know why?
Why?
He found out that she was only marrying him so that she could eventually display his corpse for profit.
I love this story.
Wow.
He found out her secret plan. When he died, she was going to take his body on tour.
So she married him, she would be his next of kin or whatever.
Right, they turn the body over to her.
Oh.
She puts it in a glass case and takes it on the road.
That went south so fast!
It sure did.
And we thought it was true love.
And
now we found out there were ulterior motives.
Who could have seen that coming? That she thought there'd be a profit in showing off Charlie's dead body.
Charlie's dead body tour.
Dead Manson.
That's so weird. Like at a mall?
Yeah.
That has to be the craziest reason I've ever heard.
Outside a hot dog on a stick?
Wanting to marry someone.
Right. For 50 cents, you get to see the dead lunatic. What the hell's going on in this world? And speaking of lunatics, Charlie Sheen has written an open letter to Brian Williams saying how supportive he is and how furious he is at NBC for suspending him for 6 months without pay. That's right, Charlie Sheen. I said it.
He cares about this?
He cares passionately about this.
Because?
It is an outrage that NBC would take this man that he calls the inimitable professional with top shelf brilliance. He would take him off the air. For every other person alive with a TV who relied and still do on your poetic, insightful, and noble sacrifices that made our longest nights shorter and our shortest nights safer, you, good sir, are a hero.
Duh.
Winning. He calls those who fired him hooligans, non-coms, cowards, and oligarchs. Look up oligarchs.
You know what?
Whose only desperate and hideous goal is to discredit the genius they have relied on for almost three decades.
People say it's me at the top, but I sure like the view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. W, respect, love, high fives, and refuge if you need it. I remain humbly and on dangerous standby at your service. I am the machine.
What?
You know, I got tiger blood, man.
It's got tiger blood.
Wouldn't it be awesome if Brian Williams moved in with him?
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
That would be the greatest sitcom of all time. One's a respected newsman who's fallen from grace. The other one's a drugged out lunatic. Together, they drive each other crazy.
Losers winning. Bye-bye.
There's your odd couple.
Right there.
Brian Matthew Perry. Machine.
I'm dangerously standing by.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but I don't want to find out.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Josh Brolin.
Birthday. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
That song with Bean is like shingles. You don't know when it's going to flare up. You don't know when it's going to show up. It just comes up unannounced.
But it's always welcome.
Slaps you upside the head. All right?
I'm dying and no one cares. No. Today's celebrity birthday is Josh Brolin's 47 years old today. Christina Ricci. She's 35. And actress Sarah Lancaster celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Mario Matias from Bell. Just got tickets to see Imagine Dragons at the Troub and qualified for that trip where he's going to follow him around the country. Get to see him in Salt Lake City, Vegas, Atlanta. And you have your own in-flight acoustic performance by the band.
Wow.
So that's sort of weird.
Yeah.
But
that would make air travel a lot better, by the way, if you always got a world-class band performing live on your flight.
We should try to make that happen.
I like it. You can get details at KRock.com. We'll give you another chance to win and qualify at noon today. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us once a week to talk about things that are going on in the news relevant to our interests, and he is on the line right now. Hey, Doc. How you doing, man?
Good morning, sir.
Bruce Jenner.
Mm.
What up?
What's that?
That's a pretty direct question.
I mean, look, I think this is the best time in the history of the world to be transgender in that the acceptance is higher than it's ever been, and there are role models on TV now, and, you know, I think we've all come a long way in understanding what a tragic journey it is for somebody who feels like they were born in the wrong sex body. Bruce Jenner would certainly be the most high-profile person to ever undergo this surgery if it happens, but so far he won't come out and say it. It's all speculation, which is kind of, I think it's rubbing some people the wrong way.
I think you're right in everything you said, Bean, and we got a ways to go, of course. Interestingly, I, on my KBC program yesterday, spoke to Dr. Renee Richards. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah, she was one of the second famous transgender person. It was back, I think, in the 70s. She became famous when she insisted on being able to play tennis, professional tennis, as a female.
Right.
And he was an ophthalmologist who then had to, and she told me that back then they had something called woodworking, which had nothing to do with the surgery. It meant they had to work themselves into the woodwork because they had to, you know, really just to show up somewhere in some town. It was almost like she said it was like witness relocation. They would just show up as this, you know, local ophthalmologist female who wants to join the tennis club.
Oh, I see. So she had to do it when there was nobody there that knew her.
She had to, like, witness protection.
Right.
They'd have to just show up and sort of work their way into the woodwork as this new person. And she said it was very, very, very painful. And her son, interestingly, is still resentful of the fact that his father just kind of disappeared when he was, like, 11 years old. And I was, like, 5 years old, actually. And I said, that surprises you? And what happened in the 70s? We decided we just forgot what children need from their parents. It's bizarre.
Right.
But in any event, he was saying that she was saying that she felt that Bruce Jenner was probably doing a pretty good job of this because it is a slow process. It's something that he has to get used to, his family has to get used to. And he's kind of giving us all a chance to get used to it before he really comes out with the full story. And, of course, he is in that Kardashian complex, so the full story will be some sort of reality show, and there will be some sort of, I suspect, media blitz associated with it, and that'll be all rolled out for maximum effect.
Now, forgive me if this is a dumb question, Dr. Drew, but is the transition to a different sex, like the realization that you're gay, something that you know from the time you're a little kid and you fight your whole life, or is it something that you can arrive at a conclusion kind of out of the blue as an adult?
It's funny. I guess I'm more informed about this topic than I realized. I also spoke to a transgender surgeon who does a lot of these procedures. And she was saying that most of the procedures she's doing today, significant majority, are in men in their 50s and 60s, and essentially all of them have been preoccupied about this since at least childhood or adolescence. And so her assumption is, and I think probably rightly so, is that Bruce Jenner's been thinking about this for a long time. But isn't it interesting to think that perhaps the athleticism and athletic performance and all that stuff may have been some sort of compensation, some sort of attempt to disavow this feeling he was having, And it must have been pretty hard when he's standing up on the podium receiving a gold medal to think, oh, this ain't working for me. No, it worked. It worked for him probably pretty well for a long time.
When was that? The early
70s? 1972, 72? I think, was the year that he won the decathlon. And he was, for folks who only know him as a reality TV star, I mean, he was the biggest athlete in the world at that point.
Forever. I mean, he was known. He literally would show up on television every night because he was this revered figure having just dominated the decathlon.
It strikes me as weird, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it strikes me as weird in that he was such an alpha male. Well, and you don't see that.
Well, I think that's that compensation, you know, that he was probably overcompensating the other direction, and it seemed to work for him. And don't forget, I mean, gender identity is entirely different from sexual identity. So just because he's switching gender doesn't mean he's gay. He will still continue, I suspect, to like women.
Right. And just so, not Kardashians, though, let's be
probably
honest.
Probably not.
Seriously, if you have a choice.
That gets very weird. But, he's going to go male to female and be a lesbian, which when I first started seeing patients like that when I was working in the psychiatric hospital, I practically had to pull out a piece of paper. I'm like, what? You're doing what to what? But that's a pretty common transition.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Drew. What's the experience like for these men in their 50s and 60s who get the surgery and now start living as a woman with the kind of, I mean... The way they look sometimes, you can kind of tell. And I'm wondering, are they opening themselves up for just a lot more heartbreak by the way they're treated just in their day-to-day transactions?
It's a great question, and people are trying to figure that out to this day, whether or not some of the unhappiness. And there have been some large-scale studies that documented persistent unhappiness after the surgeries. Is that the difficulty still assimilating and becoming what they want to be, or is there something else going on? And that's sort of an area of active research.
All right, this may be too big a question for you, Dr. Drew, but maybe you can dumb it down for us in layman's terms. What happens in a person's body that makes them feel like they're in the wrong sex body? Is it a gene, or what went wrong?
Well, as with any human behavior, usually it's a combination of gene and environment. But to really specify what the biology is and what the environmental hit is, if any, people don't really know yet.
Don't know.
They just don't know. And there's lots of theories flying around, but... And there are people really trying to figure it out, but it's not something that is standing up just yet to scientific scrutiny in a way that I can really report.
Well, it is an interesting story, as we mentioned, especially of somebody so high profile and so well known. It'll be neat to see kind of how this thing develops. Dr. Drew, of course, is the co-host of Loveline here on KROQ 5 nights a week with our good friend Mike Catherwood. Also, Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. And the new show also with Mike is on KABC from noon till 3 each afternoon. Drew, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
I don't either.
The thing is, lack of personage.
Less Garmin than I expected, I guess.
Less Ralph than normal for
and
the
that
show
I hoped
is.
For.
Right.
There's our boy.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Hey, man.
Just wanted to get the details so I could give away some tickets to the Hot Tub Time Machine 2 premiere.
Yay!
So I had to run the other room and grab them real quick. I got pairs of passes to give away to the L.A. premiere of Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which happens on Wednesday, February the 18th, at the Bruin Theater in Westwood, if you'd like to go. And why wouldn't you? This movie looks hilarious. Give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's the number to call. First five callers who get through with that number get a pair of passes to the L.A. premiere of Hot Tub Time Machine. And if you don't win, don't feel bad, because the movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 20th. Craig Robinson makes me laugh just looking at him.
Yes,
absolutely.
He's a funny dude.
And by the way, sometimes you see a movie and you go, they didn't need to make a sequel of that. What's the point? Hot Tub Time Machine, you demanded a sequel.
I hope it's a franchise. I hope they just keep going in the hot tub over and over and over again through all perpetuity.
Uh-oh.
No, come on.
Come on. You come on.
But come on.
How great is this news?
All right, let's see.
You spend your whole life thinking, well, I've heard every Spice Girls song I'm ever going to hear. How sad is that? I'm pre-sad knowing that I'm not going to hear any more Spice Girls songs.
No one says that.
I said it. every Spice Girls fan said that. We're so sad. We may never hear new Spice Girls music. They may never get back together again. If they do, they'll probably just do the same old songs.
Right.
There won't be any new Spice Girls music.
Right.
Ha! Said the universe today. Ha! Here's a little something for you. Here, you know how much bad there is in the world? There's measles and anti-vaxxers and ISIS and
Kanye
and the Kardashians and global warming and
feet of snow in the southeast. It's 80 degrees last night in California. It's the end times. But to make things a little bit easier, as you go, as you circle the drain, the Lord saith, I'm going to give you four new Spice Girl songs.
Damn. This is a treasure trove. How were these uncovered all of a sudden?
How were they uncovered, indeed?
20 years later, like, how did they just pop up?
I don't know. They were leaked online. Apparently, these were all from the Forever sessions. You remember the Forever album?
Yeah. Sure.
And they decided not to put them on that album, and they are fully produced songs that are just full of delicious, spicy goodness.
They got to release these now, though, right?
Got to. In the words of Spice Girls fan club member David Prince, it'd be great if the parties involved could find a way of releasing these tracks. There are a load of people out there who want to own the songs and be able to listen to them whenever they want. And what better time to release the songs than for the 20th anniversary of Wannabe next year? Oh, we're going to party on that day, by the way.
Okay. Wasn't aware, but all right.
Here's a taste of some of the new Spice Girls songs. This is a song called Right Back At Ya.
Oh, come on.
That's not.
I know my butt.
What?
Oh, no.
This is a different sound for that sound.
Oh, no, my butt.
That song is a different version of a song they did make on the Forever album, but I like that version, this version, a lot better than the one that was on the album.
You're not an ass shaker for the most part, but when this comes on.
Do I shake these glutinous buttocks? If it's loving on your mind, hit it, Steve. Come on, that is not Spice Girls.
I see why they left this one on.
Come on.
You can shake your ass. I can shake my head.
That's all there is, Ralph. That's all I have.
Not enough.
They should not have left that one off the album. That sounds great.
Oh, sounds so good.
Where are these? Where did you find these?
Online. I saw the Mail, the UK tabloid, the Mail Online.
Okay.
Did a story and said someone released them, and that's where I found them.
Spice Girls are forever, right?
Spice Girls.
That's what I hear.
Spice up your life.
Your love for them is a little excessive.
It's not a whack, I'll give you that.
I don't dislike them, but
it's disproportionate.
Yes, thank you.
It's disproportionate.
Yeah, that it is.
I admit that, but right. I can't help myself.
All right.
It's like my hatred for Kim Kardashian is also probably a little out of proportion.
Yeah.
Or some would say right on.
Yeah, she seems to demand it.
Sex tape star Kim Kardashian wants everyone.
It's Kim Kardashian West.
I'm sorry, that's of course. Porn star Kim Kardashian West wants everyone to stop thinking that she got famous because she was in a sex tape.
I'm sure she'd like that.
But, Ralph,
it's wrong-headed, apparently.
But, Ralph Garman, didn't she get started with a sex tape?
She's sick of people crediting her sex tape for making her famous.
Right, but does that change what happened?
Maybe that's how some people heard about me, she said.
Ah.
But I didn't launch my career off of that. That's true, a lot of us knew her for her other work. Which was,
what was it that she was
before
doing?
Before she did the sex tape, before, she was...
Were they, well, did she, they have the show?
No.
Reality
so
show?
She was,
I don't recall anything before that.
No one knew you, for any reason before that happened. That was like 13 years ago now, she says.
Okay, but it doesn't change how things started for you.
That's true. You know,
it could be 50 years from now.
George Washington was the first president of the United States well over 200 years ago. We still know him for that.
That's still how it started.
Yeah. She's also tired of people asking about her celebrity in general. When someone asks me, what do you do? Under my breath, I want to say, ask my effing bank account what I do.
Well, that's likable.
That sure is.
That's super, super likable of her right there.
regarding her crappy reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We have more episodes than I Love Lucy.
God almighty.
Well, wow. It's got to be good if you have a lot of them.
That's right.
I've always said that. Quantity equals quality. Everyone knows that.
She should have a publicist that would call her up and go, stop it. You're
stop talking.
Just stop talking. Be
but
hot.
But isn't this what
shut
works
up and be hot.
But isn't this what works for her? Is interviews like this just add to her fans defend her? And she's got the persecution complex, and she's part of a storyline that people can follow and enjoy. I mean,
I don't.
It's whatever she's doing, Kevin, is right. It is working for her to accomplish her goals, which is to be ridiculously famous for nothing.
Hmm.
She also says she always pees on her Spanx.
What?
Because they aren't crotchless enough.
I'm sorry, what?
Wow. All right, well, that's good to know, too.
Is that part of the story?
Yeah.
Well, do you have to tell us all of it?
I'm just telling you. How do you know she pees on her Spanx?
Well, I don't think we need that.
Her sister, Courtney, once peed behind a curtain at the Delano Hotel in Miami, Florida. Okay. They'll probably never let us stay there again. What? Who are these people who are just urinating all over the place? These animals. These Kardashians.
Right.
That's an excellent point.
That's right.
You know, I need to rinse the taste of the Kardashians out of my mouth. I need some more Spice Girls. Play some more Spice Girls. Hit it, Steve. We're coming right back.
That song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Yeah, we don't care about anybody like Randy.
We're the station that brings you more spice. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I guarantee that was said by Bean at some point.
Oh, yeah. Let me spice up your day. I'm not talking cinnamon. Or nutmeg.
I was too busy giving you your fill, though. Come on, you guys know that. I don't have time for everything.
Sorry.
Kid, I'm just one man.
Celebrity birthdays today. Actor Josh Brolin is 47. Christina Ricci, she's 35 years old today. She's grown up in front of our eyes. That's true.
Yeah, that sure has. Ricci. Child star. Made good.
Sarah Lancaster from Chuck. She's 35 years old as well. And actor Jesse Spencer was on House. Also on Chicago Fire now. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have the movie beat, as it is Friday. Is it going to be a Kingsman weekend for you, or a 50 Shades weekend for you, or both?
Yeah.
We're going to tell you what Nut Rage is.
Nut Rage!
I've been yelling about that all morning.
Nut Rage!
Nut Rage! You'll just open the door.
Someone's going to jail for Nut Rage. That's all you need to know.
Luis Guzman will be in the studio talking about his movie Anna Maria in Novella Land. And we've got your tickets for Imagine Dragons at the True. I believe it's the final pair tomorrow morning.